Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette, this is Acadiana Sports Station. 1037 The Game and 1037thegame.com. KLWB, Karen Crow Lafayette, just after 6 o'clock. And Sports Chat with Dave Schultz starts now.
I'm going to put it right on the line. Been a lot of complaints already.
Connect on Facebook or follow on Twitter at 1037 The Game.
It's a formidable scent. Stings the nostrils.
Listen live with the 1037 The Game mobile app.
Naked man has few secrets. A flayed man none.
Or online at 1037thegame.com.
All right, place your bets. Place your bets. Here we are.
And now, Dave Schultz.
Super Team.
It's on right now.
Oh, Douglas, your fantasy is finally coming true. We're going to meet with a boy band.
Very funny. Not even close. No, no, no. No, the puerile sounds of boy bands are poison to my ears. And the only antidote is Steely Dan.
Ah, you like yacht rock.
Mm-hmm.
Shocker.
Thanks to Pat for knowledge I can't understand.
Are you reeling in the
year? We will unveil our yacht rock bracket next week. Could have been this week, but that's a different story. We'll have a 32-team Yacht Rock bracket next week, baby. Dave Schultz, Cody Schutz on a Wednesday morning Yacht Rock Sports Chat, live from the 237 Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. All right, give us a call, 706-0111, 706-0111. Anything happened yesterday in the NFL? Jeez. All right, let's start locally anyways. Saints appear to be moving on from Mark Ingram. And remember, I was saying bring him back. You know, 3 years, $10 million. If you want to go 3 years, $12 million, all right. They're talking about $4 million per. How many years? Four? And, of course, that doesn't matter. It just matters the upfront money. And certainly Mark Ingram is smart enough to know that every time they sign a contract, they always turn the salary portion into a signing bonus. That's the way it was with him. So they really didn't renegotiate the contract per se. They just kind of renegotiated the terms in terms of, we're going to give you all this upfront money so we can spread out the salary cap over the life of the contract. And so you won't get a big-time paycheck, but you're getting a big lump of some money up front, which who wouldn't say yes to that? And so it appeared he was, from the tea leaves and what Latavius Murray signed, 4 years, $16 million for Mark Ingram. Did he really turn that down? Is he really going to get more than that? Is there only one team who wants him now? Did the Jets, if you didn't know, were apparently the only team that wanted Le'Veon Bell. They were negotiating against themselves, like Nick Foles and the Jaguars. And so we'll see how much Mark Ingram gets now. You would think that he would get less from the Ravens after Le'Veon Bell signed, but we'll see. I mean, sometimes you have to have a little self-reflection, saying a 29-year-old running back, how much am I going to possibly get? And we'll see how much money he gets from the Ravens. I mean, I wish him the best of luck. I really do. And I know that it hurts Saints fans. I know that it does. You know, this is a little bit like, we always use Syracuse or Patriots examples, but Lawyer Malloy was cut not like, you know, in February or March, but right before the season started, 2003. Right before the season started, out of training camp. It did not start out that well. The Patriots got blown out at Buffalo. Blown out. Brady and company. Blown out 31-0. 31-0. As the locker room didn't really go over well, cutting Lawyer Malloy because the Patriots wanted him to take a pay cut heading into the fourth year of a 7-year contract. He said no. Went on to have a pretty good career, although he could have won a few more Super Bowls. Patriots ended up going to get Rodney Harrison a little bit later, and you know the rest is history, but They went to go on to win the Super Bowl in 2003 and then 2004. A little bit dry after that, but things worked out for both, I'd say. For both. But some of this has got to be on Mark Ingram a little bit, and I'm pro player. You know, these guys, especially how much they put their, let's just say it, their lives on the line, their bodies on the line, they deserve everything they get. Again, I am amazed at Trent Brown from right tackle to, you know, protecting Tom Brady's backside to $36 million guaranteed. The Giants didn't think Landon Collins was any good. He got $40 million guaranteed. Nick Foles was about to retire like 3 years ago. Is he getting $50 million guaranteed? $50 million guaranteed for Nick Foles? Good for these guys. Antonio Brown sits out. He's getting $30 million. Le'Veon Bell sits out. Apparently he's getting about $35 million guaranteed. So we'll have to find out what the guarantee portion of whatever contract Ingram signs. And if he signs more than a four-year, $16 million deal, dramatically more, all the power to him. All right, this is his last contract, baby. That's it. That's all there is. He ain't getting another one after this. And the chances are pretty good that he's not going to finish the contract. You know, the first 2 years of this contract is much more important than the last 2 years, even to the Saints. Maybe that's what the Saints were looking at. We want you back. We'll overpay you. But we're not going to, you know, go crazy. All right. Now, who do they bring in? Latavius Murray. For the longest time, I didn't even know who Latavius Murray was. And he hasn't had that great a career. He's had, like, a couple of good seasons. It hasn't been very good. He started three games in 2014, played in 15. Then in 2015 with the Raiders, played and started in all 15 ball games. He had 1,000 yards. And 1,000 yards is nothing anymore in the NFL, right? If you're going to have a great season in the NFL, it's more like 1,500 these years. You know, if you are that back, all right? And he only scored 6 touchdowns. And he still only averaged 4 yards a carry. I mean, that's good. It's not great. And he's much closer to the 4 yards a carry. He's pretty consistent. 4 yards in 2015, 4 yards in 2016, 3.9 in 2017, and 4.1 in 2018. Now, in 2016, he only started in 12 ball games, played in 14. So a little bit banged up. But he did score 12 touchdowns in limited action. All right. And the reason I say I don't even know who Latavius Murray was a couple years ago because, well, he skedaddled out of Central New York. He went to an incredibly small high school in Syracuse, New York, Onondaga. Same high school, I believe, as Michael Hart, Cody Schutz, who's now a college football coach somewhere, maybe at Michigan, in fact. Used to be at Syracuse. But Mike Hart and these guys are separated by a good chunk of change. And Latavius Murray skedaddled out of Central New York because why wouldn't you want to go to school in Orlando in Central Florida compared to, you know, Syracuse, New York? Also, at the time, there may have been someone named Greg Robinson, you know, digging a grave for the Syracuse football program that they're still digging out of now. So Latavius Murray comes in and replaces Mark Ingram. He'll be a tandem. Apparently, word was out that he's very good at blocking. You know, he won't only take on blitzing linebackers, but he'll take on defensive ends. 6'3", 230. Slightly different size than Mark Ingram. So probably not as shifty, but maybe a little bit more powerful. Although, was Mark Ingram really that shifty? Right? He might be able to make one move on you, but he's kind of a straight-ahead runner too, right? He's not Kamara. He's going to go through that line and run you over, but he may be able to stick a foot in the ground and make one move on you. But he's basically a straight-ahead runner. Again, if Mark Ingram got more money, dramatically more money, and he was looking for like $7 million, was he really looking for like a $28 million contract or something like that? Who put that in his head? And we'll see. Again, none of this is actually official until today. All right, Anthony Barr changed his mind with the Jets and went back and signed a huge deal with the Vikings. So until this all gets on the dotted line, as Richard Marx once said, nothing matters. Is that Yacht Rock, Cody? No. Pop Rock. Good follow on Twitter, by the way. And again, you know, married to Daisy Fuentes. Woohoo. So we'll see if there's a change of heart. It could be too late for Mark Ingram. They, you know, the Saints could be, thanks for coming. We went and got our other running back. All right, I tweeted out if Latavius Murray can, you know, make a pit stop in Wegmans and come back down here, we'd appreciate it. All right. Went shopping yesterday, Cody. I tried to go to Walmart, and everything's cleaned out. It's 25%, by the way, at the Walmart, what's ever left on the thruway. All right, all the TVs are gone. Almost everything's gone. I picked up, mozzarella sticks, if you will, and a bag of pretzels. That was all that was left. The alcohol is 25% off. If anything's left on Friday, it's 50% off. I will be making a pit stop at Walmart on Friday to see if anything's left. But I went to another grocery store last night, Cody, and there's not that many around, so people can figure out what it is. English muffins were a dollar more. English muffins are two. I can tell you exactly what they are. They cost $2.49, whether they're whole wheat or white. $2.49 at Walmart. These were over $3.50. The low fat, low sugar chocolate milk, which you can't get at Walmart anymore, was over $4. The eggs were priced about right. It's expensive. Expensive. So we're gonna, again, the change is coming, Cody. I'm going to have to go to this Walmart up here. Is it? I think it's bigger than the one that I had down in the thruway, if that's possible. I mean, that thing is huge. But I can get in, get out. At a regular shopping, I can get in, get out. I don't mess around. I do always go and torture myself with how much the TVs are, but, you know, oh well. All right, 706-0111, 706-0111. Let's put a Shut Up Dave poll question, Cody. How do you want to word this? Because are you happy with the move that the Saints let Mark Ingram go and sign Latavius Murray? Yes, no, Shut Up Dave seems foolish because I think most people will not be. How about this one? And this is slanting it a little bit. Should the Saints have overpaid Mark Ingram to keep him? Cody, are you awake? You paying attention? You up? What do you got going over there?
I'm thinking.
Oh, okay. All right. Just wondering. He's like gazing into the computer. Why am I up at 6:15 in the morning? Or he's like, did we pick the number one seeds right for the Yacht Rock bracket?
No, I'm thinking about what you were pondering and then...
Because that's kind of slanted, right?
Well, I don't know how to word it because I figure if I word it, it's...
Well, how do you word it?
Well, that's the thing I don't know because...
People are going to say yes, they're upset that the Saints let Ingram go.
I mean, you could ask if you think it'll work out.
Okay, that's it. Let's do that. Do you think signing Latavius Murray, because I don't want the question slanted, do you think signing Latavius Murray instead of overpaying Mark Ingram is the right move? Do you think signing Latavius Murray instead of Mark Ingram was the right move for the Saints? That'll work. #WhoDat, #ShutUpDave. Right? That's not a slanted question. Like yesterday, I had problems asking Billy Napier a question. I got a better one. We'll have Billy Napier on tomorrow. And I couldn't quite ask a question. I figured out how to ask it last night. You know, how does the offense take the next step? Because remember last year, I mean, nobody knew what they were doing, right? Spring ball, fall ball, you're just trying to figure out the basics. So if this year was, or if last year was Billy Napier 101, you know, do we see Billy Napier, you know, 200 level, 300, 400 level of offense now that everybody knows what's going on? And that didn't quite come out last night, so we'll ask it tomorrow. Sometimes you don't get the question, the answer that you're looking for because you don't ask the question right. And sometimes when you ask a leading question, you kind of know what the answer is. Like I knew it was going to happen when you know. Is J-Lo and A-Rod still going out? Are they still dating? Engaged? I knew what the answer was going to be, you know. When we asked whose marriage is going to last longer. And we are 6 weeks away from the Kardashian anniversary, Cody. April 29th.
You were like 25 days or something like that.
What's that?
We're like 25 days.
You're counting already?
I think Kaylee brought it up yesterday. Oh. She's like, oh, we've been married 24 days.
Is that going slow or is that going fast?
She thinks it's going fast.
Well, you would hope so. Has anything really changed?
No.
No. Exactly. Does she get to tell you to do more things and you have to say yes?
I mean, if she has, she hasn't really tried yet.
Oh, okay.
I mean, literally, there's right. No
difference. Have we going to Biloxi yet to cash my winnings?
No. We haven't made
We're not going.
Sure. Probably not.
Oh, all right.
That's like this weekend. That snuck up on me. I didn't realize that was coming up so quick.
Oh, yeah. You're stuck if you're going this weekend.
Yeah.
There's no ticket. There's no places available.
Yeah.
I tried to figure that one out.
No.
Even the Silver Slipper is sold out.
Well, good, because I kind of, I'm happy to stay home. It's fine with me.
All right. We'll see if Jason Gibbs from WKNR comes on. We put the sports chat signal out. All right. He's our boy from Cleveland. We'll see if he'll join us. We'll talk to, hopefully, the voice of the Tigers, Chris Blair, Brian Bieniemy from New Orleans, and Chris Gordy from Houston, all on a jam-packed Wednesday morning Yacht Rock Sports Chat. We'll talk Odell Beckham Jr. next on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7. The Game. Uh-oh. You gotta redo the question. Typo in the question. We can't have the hashtag Shut Up Dave with a W. It won't get trending then, Cody. How can we be trending with Shut Up Dave W? Just redo it. So we'll have this up shortly. Do you think the Saints signing Latavius Murray over Mark Ingram will work out? I think it will. I do. I think it will. 706-0111, 706-0111 on the Arco Equipment Hotline. I'm shocked I'm not following Cam Jordan. He pops up in my timeline so much, I'm shocked. All right, again, we'll see if Jason Gibbs, surprisingly, when news answers, he doesn't answer his phone. Chris Blair will join us, hopefully. Brian Bieniemy will be there. Chris Gordy will join us. All right, tomorrow we're hoping to have Billy Napier on and Bob Marlin on. The Cajuns basketball team will play South Alabama, who roared back in the second half to down Arkansas State, and that ball game will be 5 o'clock on Thursday, the Cajuns in South Alabama in the Sun Belt Conference Tournament. All right, baseball, both Cajuns and LSU lost, but for LSU, Landon Marceau looked great, 3 innings of shutout baseball, struck out 3. Mikael Hilliard looked very good, 2 innings of shutout baseball, and then it went downhill from there. Also, the bats were kind of quiet. Cajuns, we didn't even get to the Cajuns game until it was 7-1, maybe 9-1. UNO's bats were out in force. I'll also say this, Cody. You know I'm a hashtag always a bright side. Cajuns were throwing strikes. You know, you give up, you know, 9 runs on 8 base hits. You ain't walking the bases loaded and forcing into runs, that's for sure. All right, again, 706-0111, 706-0111. You need a 5-hour energy? You don't look like you're into it today. Like the biggest day in March history.
I don't know.
You're not very enthused. What can I do for you?
I don't understand.
Did you not bring the soda?
I feel this.
Okay.
Why are you calling me out this morning?
I want to help you.
Don't worry about it. I'm fine.
No. I do worry about that because you're there for me. And if you're not there, then I'm going to be lost.
I mean, I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here.
All right. Are you sure?
I'm positive,
right.
Yes.
Okay. All right. He doesn't look like he's having any fun. No. And it's way too early in the morning not to be having fun. All right. So let me tell you how big this trade was yesterday. All right? They hung up on you? All right. So I try not to annoy my nephew, although I seem to do that. All right? My nephew, Sam. The doctor's son, Sam. All right? And when he's a little kid, it's pretty cool to talk to your uncle David. But when you turn 13, not so much. So, to limit my annoyance, you know, I'm allowed to call once during the week and once on the weekends, and usually I don't get through, and he's blocked me. My nephew blocked me. Yesterday, let's see this. Yesterday at 6:56 p.m., it was announced, this is the middle of the Napier deal, the Napier press conference, which we'll hear some later on. It was announced on Twitter, one of those NFL guys, that Odell Beckham was traded, right? Let's see what time. That was 7 6:56 p.m., right? Local time. 7:08, my nephew Sam texted me. Odell just traded to the Browns. Out of nowhere. I said, I just saw that. OMG. They're the best division. They're the best team in the division. And I said, are you a Browns fan now? Doesn't really root for NFL. Much more Louisville football fan than Colts or Bengals. And he goes, I thought my friend was kidding. That's how big, and in all caps, he's screaming at me, if you will. That's how big that trade was yesterday. My nephew is not a pro football fan, and he's texting me that Odell Beckham was traded. Are the Browns now a top five team in the AFC? All right. They're going to win the division. They're favored to win that division, right? Baltimore ain't winning the division. Pittsburgh's not going to win the division. And we'll see what happens with Cincinnati new regime. Cincinnati seems to have some talent, but can't get out of their own way. And I'm in the right division there, right, Cody? That's the NFC, AFC North, right?
The Norse, as it were.
So the Browns are all of a sudden, it'll be very interesting. They're now the favorite in that division. Are they going to be on the level of the Patriots and the Chiefs? Patriots have done like nothing in free agency. The Chiefs got Tyrann Mathieu. Ravens went 10-6 last year after they changed quarterbacks. Steelers fell apart 9-6-1. Cleveland 7-8-1. Remember, Cleveland had a chance to spoil the Ravens trip. Didn't they have a chance? I mean, they were driving in the last game of the year and fell short. They couldn't even get into field goal range, down 26-24. They had a first down and 10 inside Ravens territory and couldn't get close enough for a field goal. So we'll see. But now, Odell Beckham Jr., Jarvis Landry, Kareem Hunt, Nick Chubb. This team's pretty good.
Don't forget Baker.
And Baker. Yeah, yeah. And the quarterback, obviously. Yeah. It's going to be a good football team. All right, we'll talk about that next. Keep on talking. Odell Beckham Jr., lots more to do on a Wednesday morning Yacht Rock Sports Chat. Wake up, Cody! 103.7. The game. The dirty law down. All right, correction. We forgot this. My fault. Chris Gordy's in London having a vacation. Although he really didn't ask me if he could go on vacation. He sort of told me he was going on vacation. Didn't ask for my permission to go to London. But that's where he is. So I appreciate him checking in saying, yeah, I'm not doing an international call for Sports Chat. Which, that I understand. Golf Channel interrupting my show, I do not understand. Being in London, I do.
I remember now.
Right, he said
I remember
yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah, see, Cody snapped out of it. All right. Wake up in there. He's all pumped up for our Yacht Rock bracket, which we'll unveil next week. 32 teams strong, baby. We're expanding just like the NCAA. You know, we'll catch up to them, 64 teams. Do I have to set it up right now to get ready for next year? Should we plan that right now?
We need to make sure we know where we save all this stuff at the very, very least.
Right. All right. We'll see if we have any guests this morning. Who knows? Brian Bannamy will be there for us. 706-0111. 706-0111 on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. I got another one. I got a better Shut Up Dave poll question. First one is pretty good, all right? You know, do you think the Saints signing Latavius Murray over Mark Ingram will work? 38% say yes. 54% no. Only 8% tell me to shut up. I could say fault, but let's say, whose responsibility is it that Mark Ingram is no longer a Saint? The Saints, Mark Ingram, shut up, Dave. Because, again, he hasn't signed yet. Right? I mean, technically, none of these guys have signed, officially. But I, you know, looking this morning, I mean, I woke up this morning and Le'Veon Bell had, you know, agreed to a four-year, $52 million deal. Well, here's Josh Katzenstein from NOLA.com and the Times-Picayune, you know, bidding adieu to Mark Ingram, one of the best and most beloved Saints players ever. He really grew up, had a change of attitude, right? He was taken out of games because he was fumbling. And, you know, when angry Mark Ingram was running the football, he was pretty good. Then he got a running back mate back there, in Kamara, and you know, seemed to rejuvenate him. They had a little bit of an issue with the four games earlier this year, or last season, I should say. But apparently, you know, that there was a separation on the money. I'm waiting to see what the money is. Because I'm going to be shocked if it's more than 4 years, $16 million. Because I haven't heard what the money was from the Saints' point of view for Ingram. All right, I heard it was $4 million. It's four per. But I don't know how many. I don't know how long. And I don't know. Do we know what the Latavius Murray contract is, Cody? In terms of, I know it's $4.4 million, but I don't know what's guaranteed. Because remember, that's all that matters. Just the guaranteed money. So we'll see if, and we'll see if any of this changes for, you know, today. Again, nothing's official until today. Anthony Barr changed his mind. We'll see, and there's people out there. Michael Lombardi is reporting that other players could change their minds. So we shall see. 706-0111 on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. The other big story yesterday was this whole, you know, Hollywood fiasco. I don't even know if it's a Hollywood fiasco. It's not. Those were the two big names, right? Felicity Huffman, right? William H. Macy's wife, and Lori Loughlin, Aunt Becky from Full House, right? They're in on this where, I mean, this is the super genius move of the day, Cody. Where they paid, I mean, LSU right now is under investigating themselves, right? Because no one else is investigating them, by the way. Have we heard about Gervonta Smart yet? Right? On a side note, before I get too far off track, you realize that it took the Jazz less than 24 hours to ban that fan permanently? Because guess what? Other fans said what he said. Other fans confirmed what Westbrook said.
And wasn't it, from the way I understood it, not just from Jazz games or from anything in that arena?
Oh, really?
The way they said it on the sports update was that he's been banned from any events in that arena.
Wow.
He didn't even just say Jazz games.
Well, that's a well-done job by him, right? Good job by him getting banned from everything.
I mean, that's, you know, I can't imagine. I've never been to Salt Lake.
Right.
But I can't imagine there's, you know, too many big venues like that.
Right,
you know
right.
What
that's
I mean?
About it. So that took less than 24 hours, right? We're about 24 hours away. We're about six, seven hours away from it being a full week since these allegations came out. And we still don't have an idea what's going on with LSU. About investigating, about paying an athlete to go to school there. Now we have a situation where they're, you know, the big thing is fake news these days, right? Some is not. These people play fake sports. Their kids did not play sports. They lied about it and got into the school paying hundreds of thousands of dollars. Here's where the super genius move of the day comes in, Cody. I mean, this is just so stupid, right? So you know how this whole thing was done? Did you read about it? I got to read up more about it. But it basically started out as a charity. That you made a donation to a charity, and then this guy took care of it. So you know what happens when you donate something to a charity? It's tax deductible. You can take it off your taxes. So they were cheating to get their kids into colleges, but then wanted to deduct it from their taxes. They're stupid and greedy. You got to be kidding me. When, let's be honest, right? Most of the people, you know, who go to these elite colleges tend not to have the grades to get there, right? Jared Kushner's father made a $2.5 million donation to Harvard. All of a sudden, he's going to Harvard. You know, it's more important that your family went to these Ivy League schools than your grades. That's the deal. It's unbelievable. Right? And college is what you make of it. It doesn't matter where you go. Right? I mean, I got one guy who spent the first part of his life investment banking, and I think he's in venture capitalist, right? Another guy, not only did I see him, I wasn't probably best friends with him by any means in college, but we became good friends because he was a member at that club that I worked at. Pretty high-end club in Key Largo, all right? He went into investment banking and, you know, married well. What can you say? My college roommate, Glenn Zimmerman, you know, he had the same job. Not the same job. Worked for the same company for 20 years. I think he had one job right out of school, and then after that, a year later, started working for a company, a mutual fund, and it maybe changed names over 20 years, but he moved on to another job right before I got this one. Somebody else is a firefighter. My boy Mike Trombley up in Plattsburgh, New York. Get a map for that, near Canada and Vermont. He's worked for the same company since college. All right? It's, you know, it may not be glamorous, but I bet she's done pretty well. He used to sell double-wide trailers. Now he's like vice president of the company. And you know how I know he's doing well? His handicap of golf is like under 10. That's how I know he's doing well. And let me tell you, there's like a two-month stretch when you can play golf in Plattsburgh, New York. You know, ain't playing it down here from like, you know, the middle of March through Thanksgiving down here, right? You're playing Memorial Day through Labor Day, June, July, August, maybe a little bit longer. We all went to a small state school in upstate New York, nothing elite at the time about SUNY Oswego. Now, these people are going to get everything that they deserve, and they cheated other people out of it, and most likely people who couldn't afford it to go. Instead of just buying a building and making a donation that way, getting in the old-fashioned way, they had to lie about it. And we only found out about the actresses because they're the famous names, but I bet you the CEOs, we're going to find out about it as well. And now some girl at Georgetown apparently bragged throughout her career there, another super genius, that she cheated on her SATs. Whoopsie. We'll see if Georgetown kicks her out. Whoops. Is that something you want to be low-key about? You're bragging that you cheated on your SATs?
I mean, how does that even be? I'm not telling
Someone took the SATs for them.
Right, but I'm not even telling my parents that type of thing.
No,
much
see, most of these kids, all right, she's not one of them, but most of the kids didn't outside of the cheating, right? And the schools didn't know, apparently. Apparently the schools didn't know, right? You got like, you know, crew team coaches that are probably making, if they're lucky, six figures, right?
Right.
And if you're the crew team coach at USC, that sounds kind of cool, but, you know, it costs a pretty good chunk of change to live in Los Angeles.
Right.
$100,000 would be pretty good here, but what coach is making that here? Tony Robichaud is making $150,000, but he's making more now, right? Bob Marlin is making over $400,000. He's got a raise. Right, Billy Napier's making close to $750,000, right? But the head coach of USC football making millions and millions. The head right. coach of USC basketball making millions.
I've seen how high. The rowing coach at Harvard is not doing too well.
Someone, you know, and then some of these other people got caught up into it, like these dentists or something like that. These guys who were making a good living overall. Right, who are making a few hundred thousand dollars but are not multimillionaires by any stretch of the imagination, you know, they're slapping like $5,000 on their credit card. Will that be okay? Because they're in between tax payments and whatever the case is. They had a couple of different big charges at the wrong time of the year that they couldn't afford it. They'll slap something on their credit card. But this goes on all the time. This is not breaking news, right? I mean, people get into schools that don't belong into schools all the time. That's how the wealthy work. And again, there's all these kinds of Law and Order episodes about, you know, preschoolers trying to get into, you know, well, preschool. It's a big deal to get into the right preschool in New York City. Probably Los Angeles, Dallas, Miami, and Texas, right? If you get into the right preschool, you get into the right grammar school. And then you get in the right grammar school, you get in the right prep school. And then you get in the right prep school, you get into Harvard. So now we have a scandal here locally that maybe one of the players got paid to go play, and now you got a scandal nationally that are getting people into school that couldn't play the sport. I read one part of the, I was on a tweet actually. They got, Then they tweeted a picture of the thing. Someone read the government filing. Can you get a picture of your kid playing a sport? Yeah, I got him. I got him in a picture of doing lacrosse. Is that okay? We don't have a lacrosse team, but that's all right. I mean, really? You know? It's a separate world, right? You see, Colbert last night said that. You know, as a member of the, wealthy and famous. You know, if you think that America is slanted towards the wealthy and famous, you're right. Yeah. Oh goodness, Ben Dreyfus, Richard Dreyfus' son. He had a great tweet. Let me see. I guess he's an actor. I don't know who he is, right? But he's Richard Dreyfus' son. He had a great tweet. I got into college the old-fashioned way, by letting my father's celebrity speak for itself.
the good old, do you know who I am?
That's right. We're going to need a bigger boat. All right. We'll be back. More sports chat. We'll get back to the sports after this. Pelicans lose. Mavericks lost. Boo. 103.7. The game. You know that's crazy. You want to trust her. All right, we'll hear from Billy Napier right after 7 o'clock break. All right, so we'll get a little chit chat from the head coach of the Raging Cajuns. Year number two, big difference between what was happening yesterday compared to practice number one last year. All right, 706-0111, 706-0111 on the Arco Equipment Hotline. Should update poll questions. Couple of good ones. Do you think the Saints signing Latavius Murray over Mark Ingram will work out? What that means, we don't know. I guess they'll be successful running the football. Hashtag who dat, hashtag shut up Dave. Right now, 47% say yes, 39% say no, 14% shut up. That's fluctuating. It's pretty cool to see that live. You can see the votes coming in at Dave 1037 the game, at 1037 the game. Whose responsibility WHOSE? No big deal. Whose responsibility is it that Mark? Who is responsibility? Whose responsibility?
Or is it is possessive? I thought because it's who's. That's a good question, though.
Okay.
That was my thought. I don't know if that's necessarily correct, but that was my thought.
All right, the grammar police need to shut up. All right, that'd be the first thing. All right, I'll take responsibility for that one. Whose responsibility is it that Mark Ingram is no longer with the Saints? Right now, the Saints get 50%. 28% Mark Ingram, 22% telling me to shut up. When we find out how Mark Ingram's going to sign for, that number's going to change. And he may sign, when he ends up signing for less, that's going to be a bad move on Mark Ingram's part. That's not going to be the Saints' part. We'll find out what the Saints offered him. I presume it's 4 years, $16 million. I presume it was a little bit more than what they gave Latavius Murray, and I still don't know what Murray's contract is. You know, when I mean that, it's $14.4 million, but I don't know what's up front. I don't know what the guaranteed money is. But that's a pretty good running back. That's not bad. Nice 1-2 punch. What do you say, 6'3", 230? Yeah, that's pretty good size right there. Power back and the scat back. I mean, Latavius Murray is basically the 6'3 version of Mark Ingram, except Ingram gains one more yard per carry. 706-0111, 706-0111. Pelicans take it on the chin last night. Did AD play his 21 minutes, Cody? They lost to the Bucks in, honestly, what was a pretty entertaining basketball game. I mean, both teams scored over 40 in the third quarter. It was tied after one 8-point game for the Bucks at halftime. 45-41 Bucks in the third, and they won the fourth. All right. Alfred Payton, another triple-double, 14 points, 15 rebounds, 11 assists. Again, no Drew Holiday. They are going to have trouble with that. Oh, look at that. It's just, it's amazing. It's another 21 minutes, Cody. And very efficient. 21 points, 12 rebounds for Anthony Davis. But the Pelicans, again, lose. And so the problem was that the Mavericks won. Also, by the way, the Lakers won. I say the Mavericks lost, so that was bad. But the Lakers won. So that gives the, on the other end of the standings, that gives a little bit of breathing room for the Pelicans.
It's so funny to listen to, you have to break down the NBA standings in reverse.
That's what, yeah.
Like right, winning right. And losing. Like, well, you look at the standings, but you're really talking about the bottom
that's
of
right.
the list,
that's
not
right.
the top. Like,
that's right. Well, see, I see this as last night the Pelicans actually winning.
That's
how I see it.
That's why when you said right. that, like, well, the Mavericks won, I was like, well, he's not, or the Mavericks lost, I was like, that's not wrong.
All right, it's just the Mavericks. They got to be picking ahead of the Mavericks. And the Suns got to pick somebody else. If the Suns are sitting three, they very well could take Ja Morant. But the Suns and the Mavericks are the only teams in this little plethora of teams that don't have a point guard. Now, the Pelicans have a point guard. I think Ja Morant would be better than Alfred Payton, and I'm a big Alfred Payton fan. I told you people, once again, that's the third straight day, a YP in the first hour of the show. I told you people to go watch Alfred Payton. John Morant's better. All right, he just is. All right. But the Knicks have a point guard, Dennis Smith Jr. Cleveland's got a point guard, Colin Sexton. The Bulls have a point guard, Zach LaVine. Atlanta's got a point guard, Trae Young. They all do. Conley, depending on his contract, that could be a good mentorship. And the Wizards have John Wall, hurt or not. We'll see what the Hornets do with Kemba Walker. But somehow, if the Pelicans can be ahead of the Mavericks picking and the Phoenix get one or two, I mean, they're going to take Zion or R.J. Barrett, right? Although I'm full in conspiracy mode. Again, the Knicks are getting the first pick in the draft. Although, I think the Knicks are. That's another story we could talk about. How to screw up your franchise. Why is anybody going to go play for the Knicks when they got that man for an owner? Banning a fan to tell him to sell the team, right? That was nothing compared to, you know, nothing. Sell the team! Oh, yeah? I hope you like watching them on TV. Is that a punishment for me not coming here, spending money, watching your team play? They've won 13 games this year. 13 and 55. You're doing him a favor. All right, we'll hear from Billy Napier next. 103.7 The Game.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette. This is Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com. KLWB, Karen Crow Lafayette. Just after 7 o'clock. And Sports Chat with Dave Schultz starts now. Connect on Facebook or follow on Twitter at 103.7 The Game. Listen live with the 103.7 The Game mobile app or online at 103.7thegame.com.
All right, place your bets. Place your bets. Here we are.
And now. Dave Schultz.
Super team.
It's on right now.
Oh, hi. I'm Hollywood Steve. You caught me relaxing in my music nook. From 1976 to 1984, the radio airwaves were dominated by really smooth music, also known as yacht rock. These yacht rockers docked a remarkable fleet of number one hits, and every song has a story behind it. Let me tell you one.
There can never be what she was to me. She's gone.
She's gone.
Oh, I better let her face.
All right, our 32-team Yacht Rock bracket will be unveiled next Wednesday. So we'll go through them quick. All right. Defending champ player, baby, come back. If Sarah smiles, do you think we get Daryl Hall or John Oates on the show? I mean, we're one for one in that. All right. No sign from Jason Gibbs from WKNR in Cleveland. One of the few times that the sports chat signal has not been answered. Heck, even Chris Gordy texted me from London. Hey, bud, I got Wi-Fi, but we're not making that phone call. Yeah, I get it. So we can take your phone call, 706-0111. 706-0111. Obviously, the local news yesterday, the Saints moving on from Mark Ingram. He would have been the all-time Saints leading rusher. Or was he already this all-time Saints leading rusher? Didn't he pass Deuce?
I'll have to check. It was either in yards or touchdowns.
Okay.
One of the two. Let me check.
All right. But if he came back, he definitely would have held all the records. They apparently made an offer, and he turned them down. And they went out and got Latavius Murray. Played for the Raiders, played for the Vikings, Central New Yorker, as it turns out, and went to UCF. So we'll see how that works out, and that's what the Twitter poll questions are. At Dave, 1037 the game, at 1037 the game. The first, do you think it'll work out? Do you think the Saints signing Latavius Murray or Mark Ingram will work out? See, it's shifted. It was no to begin with, and it's kind of taken on its life of its own. 52% say yes, 35 no, 13 shut up. And this is all right in the same realm. Whose responsibility is it that Mark Ingram is no longer with the Saints? Right now, the Saints 30%, Mark Ingram 39%. 31% don't want to hear it. We don't care. Shut up, Dave. Keep on voting at Dave, 1037 the game, at 1037 the game. All right. What do you find out?
Oh, Mark Ingram was 89 yards behind Deuce McAllister for the number one spot.
Right.
But he is the number one touchdown leader by one. He has 50 touchdowns.
Okay.
Deuce McAllister had 49.
All right.
So he's got the touchdowns, but not the yards.
And remember, and again, a lot of money coming off the books next year, right? And at this time next year, Drew Brees probably won't be the quarterback. We can also talk about Teddy Bridgewater. I am huge Teddy Bridgewater fan, right? I'm one of the few that have seen his college debut, his pro debut, and his Saints debut. Happened to be there when they played, I think, Murray State, but that may not be right. And he came in, threw an interception, his first pass, which he remembered. He remembered his first pass. It was a hot day out. Hot. I'm not sure Teddy Bridgewater is the guy, all right? But, you know, I bet you there were some Saints fans who didn't think Drew Brees was the guy either. So we'll see. All right? But kudos to Teddy for sticking around and not going to Miami. And he would have been a backup there too, though, right? He wouldn't have been started in Miami. So good on Teddy to stay with the Saints culture, if you will. I think that phrase is overused, culture, but we'll see what happens with no Mark Ingram and see where he ends up. And again, we'll see if it changes. None of this was supposed to be official until today. So we'll see if someone has a change of heart. All right. All right, let's hear from Mr. Napier. We're trying to figure it out. It's not a robism, right, Cody? It's a Napierism, doesn't sound right, a Billyism. Right, should we do the Billyism first? All right, let's do the Billyism first. This was Billy Napier yesterday making one of a robism type analogy.
I use a wet towel analogy a lot, right? We want to get every drop out of that towel each day going forward.
So he's, you know, twisting the towel, right? You're twisting it, getting every single drop out. We should have asked him if he's a chocolate bar or a clay pot.
Is it a nape analogy? Billyism comes off the tongue better.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, I do. All right, so let's hear what Napier had to say. He liked the way they finished strong last year, but not the way they finished the regular season strong, not so much at the end.
I was pleased with how we ended the regular season. There's no question that we started to compete at a little bit higher level. We learned how to prepare. We learned how to practice. We learned how to do the extra. Learned how to compete and respond within a game. And I felt like we had our football team ready to play when we went to App and played on the road for the conference championship game. And I was proud of the way we played within the game. Now, did we do everything perfect? Did we do enough to win? No, we didn't. But we were ready to play. We played with physicality. We played with great effort. We had urgency. We were intense. We competed hard within the game. And they were a really good football team. And that was pretty evident with the way they dominated the bowl game. So, you know, I was not not pleased with how we played in the bowl game. You know, I've spent lots of time researching that two-week turnaround, realizing that if we play well this year, that's something that could happen again. We weren't quite in that state of mind maybe we were those last couple weeks. And, you know, there's no excuses. It is what it is. That's my job. When our football team doesn't play well, I take that personal, and I'm going to, you know, develop a better plan next time to have them ready to play.
Now, what's also mixed in there is the early signing period. All right, that makes it really difficult for Sun Belt teams to do that. Finish up the regular season, play a championship game, play a bowl game, and you got signing period the next week. Really tough. So he's trying to figure out how did these NFL teams handle it. The problem is the NFL teams get 2 weeks off. The Cajuns didn't, right? There was no off week in that. All right, let's hear what Lewis is your right now. Levi Lewis is your starting quarterback.
Levi is the leader in the clubhouse is the term I've kind of used. You know, certainly has the most experience, played significant role in our team last year, was very, very effective. You know, statistically way up there, you know, even nationally. And if you go back and look when he played, we scored, you know, and that's what, you know, we want the quarterback to do. So we do have others, you know, it's going to be a competition. We've got some players that were on our team last year that are getting reps, and then we've got some new players that are getting reps. So we repped all seven quarterbacks today. Will we continue to do that? Probably not. But, you know, it's a long way between now and the first game. You know, we're going to let these guys compete with the way that we do practice. We get a chance to see a lot of throws and a lot of decisions. So, you know, we'll continue to let those guys take reps. We'll adjust our plan each and every practice according to how they perform. Last year at this time, nobody thought, you know, a walk-on JUCO quarterback from California was going to be the guy. You know, coming in the door, everybody talked about Jordan Davis, Levi Lewis, and here comes Andre Nunez, who proved to be an effective player for us and, you know, played winning football for us last year. So, you know, time will tell, you know, and the consistency and performance, what they're willing to do each day. I want them to wake up thinking about what the other guys are doing and, you know, come to work each day. So we've got plenty of capable players. We'll be fine at quarterback.
Now, I think he's going to be the guy, all right? Whether they do the same thing as last year, we'll wait and see. The problem that Levi had last year a couple of times wasn't a problem, but it took playing time away, right? Levi Lewis had to lead the nation in handoff to touchdown ratios. There were three times when he handed off to Kelly Jr. and went in for a touchdown. And I think there was one pass, I think at App State. He had like one play drives like three times. That hurts the reps. All right. Again, this was the question. I didn't ask this question the way I wanted to, so we'll ask it better for tomorrow. Does the offense change at all this year?
I think we're going to cater to the personnel that we have on both sides of the ball. You know, certainly we'll have new players that make us different. You know, we'll always start with what the quarterback can do. And then we're going to feature the skill players that we have. We're going to play a brand of ball on offense that complements the defense that we have. And then within each game, the matchups are different and you play different. So I think it's a very you know, it's a journey. You know, we use that word, but that's really what it is. You know, I mean, we're right in the middle of spring practice, and that's what we're concerned with. It's really, I use a wet towel analogy a lot, right? We want to get every drop out of that towel each day going forward. Tomorrow, we're going to take this video and give as much feedback as possible. We're going to maximize our time in the meeting rooms, not only as a staff, but with the players. We all get the same amount of time. You know, and what we do with that time is our choice, our plan, and I think that's where we're going to focus is what we're doing right now to make progress and make improvement as individual players and then collectively as a team.
All right, we'll see what the case is. What about, he was on the field yesterday. That'll be part of the video recap we put together. What about defensive end Joe Dillon?
Joe Dillon's healthy, and he was cleared on January the 6th. He's been full speed ahead in the offseason program. Certainly the things that come with getting back in the fold, you know, he's sore. You know, he's the same things that maybe you experience if you took a year off from running, and then you jump back in the fold, right? So, I mean, he's going through the typical growing pains of being out of it, but I mean, he's knocked the rust off, and he certainly, you can see just in one day that he was a very productive player in the past, and I think he could be a very productive player in the future.
All right, and let's finish it up. What is the goal here? He says he's still got a couple of young players, and you got one more? We can take a break. You got it? All right. It's trying to get more knowledge for these young players.
I think probably just continue to acquire knowledge, you know, more and more knowledge. You know, I think oftentimes use the Tom Brady analogy. The guy's 40 years old, 40 plus, whatever he is, and the guy's looking for 1% better. You know, he's still in a constant pursuit of a way to make improvement. These guys all are young players. Levi in particular is still a young player. He's young within our scheme going into his second year. So, you know, quarterback's about decision making. It's about accuracy. Certainly Levi's a really good athlete. But I think those are the areas where he'll make improvement. Decision-making, accuracy, pocket presence. You know, and now he's comfortable within our concept. Now he becomes more comfortable with recognizing the defensive structure. Put those two together, he can anticipate, play faster, make better decisions, and be more accurate. So it's about production, you know, and he's proved to be very productive in the past, and hopefully he continues to make progress and continues to be productive.
All right, we'll hear more from Billy Napier tomorrow. I think I'm going to get a sit-down with him later today. All right, let's take a timeout. He answered the sports chat signal. Jason Gibbs coming in from Cleveland talking about the big story that happened yesterday. Odell Beckham Jr. has the Cleveland Browns apparently fleeced the New York Giants for arguably the best player in the NFL. Arguably. He's got the best hair in the NFL anyways. Back after this, 107. The game. All right. You know, we don't do a lot of spring training around here. I think now's a good time, all right? Let's talk to Jason Gibbs on WKNR in Cleveland. Let's get his preview of the Cleveland Indians because, you know, that's the only thing going on up there. Dave Schultz, Cody Schutz. Also, just to let you know there, Jason, we will be unveiling the 32-team Yacht Rock bracket next week.
The 32 what?
The 32-team Yacht Rock bracket.
What? What is it, and you how do I get in? Because
I love a little
game.
Well, see, you know all the different songs. You know, Kenny Loggins, the little Doobie Brothers, the little Michael McDonald, the little Ambrosia, some player. last year, player one, baby, come back, and we had the lead singer on later on in the year.
Really?
Oh yeah. You know the guy from the Swifter commercials.
Well done by you.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. He was into it. Cody, he was great.
It's that Cody guy. He makes $8.05 an hour.
There you go.
You're only as good as the producer.
That's right. All right, so what were you doing? I tried to tell him that. He was sleeping this morning, and I needed to wake him up. I'm with you 100%. Jason, I say this all the time. Anyone can do what I do, but this show falls off a cliff when Cody's not here. How dare he get married and then take a honeymoon in the middle of my show? You know, if you're going to get married,
well, number one,
right?
And why were we not consulted about this?
That's like, right.
We're marriage experts. I'm on marriage number right. two. I'm an expert,
and I have never been married, and probably never going to get married. You get married on a Friday afternoon, you're back here Monday. But no, he takes a honeymoon. All right, So where were you yesterday at 7:56 Eastern time when this sort of kind of hit Twitter?
We're obviously talking
about the what was that?
My wife and all of her girlfriends are actually in New Orleans. They've been there since Saturday.
Oh, no kidding.
Girls Week.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I'm slumming it at home with my 14-year-old. So I had to pick her up from a little cheerleading practice, and I'm literally walking in the door, and I put my phone down because, you know, 14-year-old girl, there's lots of drama, and you know, where's my dinner and all that fun stuff. So, you know, I'm making some mac and cheese, and I didn't even look at my phone, and I look over, and my phone is just going, it's almost to the point where it's shaken off the counter. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? I walk over, and I've got 76 text messages and 8 missed calls, and I'm like, oh, all right, so we did something. And then I looked at her, and I said, all right, you're on your own for dinner. Thanks. I got to go. So onto the facility I was. So it was quite a night last night here in town, and there's a lot of celebrating going on, and we'll kind of see how this all shakes out because there's only one football, but my goodness, are there a lot of playmakers on this offense.
I like how Jason considers, you know, dinner for a teenage girl drama. not necessity, yeah. Necessity, but drama.
I'm at the point where I'm calling my wife last night, I'm like, when are you coming home? What's going on? Like, are you enjoying yourself? Great. Because when you come home, you're dealing with all of this.
Have they hit Lucy's yet? You could tell them to go to Lucy's down in the warehouse district. That's fun.
Knowing my wife, they have visited the majority of places. My wife's nickname is the Shot Queen, so I can assure you that they have visited probably every establishment that needs to be visited.
Oh, you married over your skis, my friend. The Shot Queen. That's awesome.
Yes. I totally married in over my head.
We're talking to Jason Gibbs from 850 WKNR in Cleveland. All right, so, I mean, does this put, you know, post-Super Bowl, I'm telling you, I'm telling everybody here, that the AFC is going to remain the same. All right? Nothing's changing in the AFC. It's going to be the Pats in Kansas City, barring injury, whereas the NFC is much more wide open. Maybe the Packers come back. Seattle could be good. Dallas could be good. The Rams are good. The Saints are good. That's much more up for debate. We'll see if the Falcons come back. Much more for debate. Where has Cleveland put themselves into it? They got to be, you know, the best team in the North, right? The Steelers are a mess. I know Cleveland fans are upset about that. Baltimore seems to be rebuilding. Cincinnati has talent, but they're starting over again with a new coach. I mean, they got to win this division, right?
Waking up yesterday, you're thinking to yourself, the way Baltimore is purging, the fact that the Steelers have lost 2 of the top 10 players in the game, you would have to think that you are the favorites in the AFC North. And then you go out and you get Odell Beckham, and you address defense with Sheldon Richardson and Olivier Vernon, and you're looking and going, yeah, we're getting ready to play in January. And it's a very surreal moment when that hits you. And that hit me a couple times last night, just going, when Vegas dropped the Browns odds to go to win the Super Bowl, not just go, but to win to 14-1, you're like, oh, okay. So it's no longer about hope. It's all about expectations. Because this time of year, you're hoping that they're going to be good. You're hoping that they're going to be competitive. Because that's all we've had in the last 5 or 6 years. Actually, since 1999, that's all you've had is hope. And now you wake up this morning and you go, I'm expecting us to win. I'm expecting us to be playing in January. I'm expecting us to be one of the elite teams in the NFL. And that is, it's been a very, very long time since we've been able to say that.
All right, so who are the, I mean, it is a heck of a schedule, by the way. Besides the divisional foes, you do get the Seahawks at home, you get the Rams at home, and the Titans at home, and you play in the AFC East. You do have to go into New England. You know, that could be anywhere from, you know, September to December, I guess. 49ers on the road, and the Cardinals and Broncos on the road. We'll see how that plays out, because that could be, I mean, we'll see. I don't know if you got the over. Do we have the over-unders yet for these teams? Because,
not yet.
We'll figure it out.
It's interesting, too, when you look at the schedule, because last year you would have told me, I would have told you, it's a gauntlet. I mean, you're playing the NFC South. Look how good the NFC South is. And every team in the NFC South wasn't good except for New Orleans. And we only lost to New Orleans by a field goal in overtime. So,
we beat
the other three. So, yeah. So, playing the schedule game, it's just tough. But, I mean, just look at it this way. You've got Baker Mayfield at quarterback. Your running backs are Nick Chubb and Duke Johnson. Your wide receivers are Antonio Callaway, who flat out just flies down the field. Landry, you've got Odell, you've got Rashard Higgins, who's one of Baker's favorite targets. You've got David Njoku, who's one of the best up-and-coming young tight ends in the game. And at some point, you're going to get Kareem Hunt back.
Right, right.
I mean, it is a loaded, loaded offense. And then you throw in what you're doing on defense. And if you go out and you get another defensive back or two, you shore up the linebackers, because I think that that's where they need a little more depth. And it's hard to fathom, but the sky is the limit for this football team all of a sudden. Now, the big question is, can the first-year head coach, the guy who 6 months ago was just a running backs coach,
right?
Can he manage all of this?
Sure. Yeah, he probably needs some help.
Because you've got some egos, and you've got some things going on, and you're going to have to manage a lot of things in keeping people happy. And that, I think, will be the challenge.
All right, we want to thank Jason Gibbs from WKNR in Cleveland for joining us, talking about Odell Beckham Jr. Are you going to be the guy that asks Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry, how did you guys possibly go 10-3 as 1,000-yard receivers for LSU in 2013? You're going to be that guy, right?
You know what? If you want me to ask that, that's fine, because I'll be doing one-on-ones with them later this week.
There you go. It's the defense was really young. The entire defense was in the NFL from the years before. The entire defense.
Think about that.
Well, you go back and look.
Together in college.
Well, yeah, but you go back and look. That offense was pretty good. The defense was really young. I appreciate it, my friend. Thank you so much.
Their wide receiver coach in college was Adam Henry, who is the Browns' wide receiver coach, and he was sending me pictures of the two of them playing at LSU together. I got some great shots last night.
Oh, nice. All right, good stuff. Hey, enjoy it, my friend. I'm sure we'll have you on again. I appreciate it, Jason. Thank you so much.
Anytime, Dave. Thanks.
All right. That's pretty neat. The Sports Shed signal worked again. That worked with Kush. Who else did it work with? It worked with somebody else. So we appreciate that. All right, last second. We're way late. All right, we got the update coming on. All right, we'll see if Chris Blair will join us next. All right. Talk a little LSU basketball and baseball. And obviously we know we got to keep it to generalities for Chris Blair. We don't want to get him in trouble. All right, back after this. 1037, the game. All right, Chris Blair coming up next, and they should be back, be close, for that reveal party, the NCAA brackets on Sunday. Join us at Pete's on Johnston, 5 to 7 p.m. Ben Love will be there to see where LSU will be playing in the NCAA tournament. 5 to 7 p.m. will be there. Could be there longer if LSU makes it all the way to the SEC Championship game, which is Sunday at noon. And it's St. Patrick's Day, so it could be a good day at Pete's. Join us for the 1037 The Game Pete's Bracket Reveal Party on Sunday, 5 to 7 p.m., doubling up on St. Patrick's Day, powered by Pete's, 1037 The Game, 1037thegame.com.
If you're searching for something meaningful that will enhance your life, this is not the guy to talk to. Now, back to Sports Chat with Dave Schultz on 1037 The Game.
If you like pina coladas, getting caught in the rain. If you're not into
all right, Brian Bannamy at 8 o'clock. A couple things to talk to him about. He's such a good follow on Twitter. He does not put up with it on Twitter. And he's actually a little skinny guy. He's Twitter tough. Keep on voting at Dave 1037 The Game, at 1037 The Game. Whose responsibility is it that Mark Ingram is no longer with the Saints? 43% say Mark Ingram. 28% shut up, Dave. 29% saying the Saints. Who do you think the Saints, do you think the Saints signing Latavius Murray over Ingram will work out? 53% say now yes. All right. Keep on voting at Dave 1037 The Game, at 1037 The Game. Let's talk a little LSU baseball and basketball with our man Chris Blair. He'll be on his way to Nashville. First game, we always love it when LSU is playing in the first game. So, you know, it doesn't, these things never start on time except, you know, the first one. And so 11:30 a.m. pregame show on Friday and LSU tip off just after noon on Friday. Chris Blair, thanks for getting up. You doing okay?
Doing good, man. Getting ready to head that way. Headed to Music City here in just a little bit.
So, all right.
Busy day to travel and then sit around and wait till Friday.
There you go. All right. So I'm not going to put you in a tough position here, but I want to know what was the attitude adjustment, because I got a good friend who's an LSU faithful, went to LSU. He's like, what do you think is going to happen against Vanderbilt? First off, I told, the famous Clint D, it's Marshall Graves time, and I said they're going to kill him. How did that attitude change within the team that you saw based on what happened to Coach Wade and Javonte Smart?
No, I think it's been pretty much just ramped up from what they've been doing all year. And I don't know how many times I've told you this season that they really felt like they didn't get enough respect from the national media. And, in certain degrees, I still don't think they have. It was fine. I mean, they just kept saying, we'll just keep doing what we do. And eventually, if you keep winning, you can't be denied. And I think that was the attitude. I felt sorry, actually, for Vanderbilt having to come into the Maverick Center, because
yeah.
I didn't see it being close at any point in any way. There were many people who thought maybe the distractions and the noise would, affect them. And obviously, when you don't have a player like Javonte Smart on the tear he's been here of late, that can hurt. But I just knew this team was, that's as much as their back has been to the wall all season. And this is a team that's been through quite a bit. It's been well documented, starting back in with the loss of Wade Sims and that tragedy. So it didn't surprise me at all that they came out and probably played one of their best start-to-finish games in
right.
the SEC, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And to me, what I took away from the game, Dave, was, yes, obviously Vanderbilt's struggling. I mean, a team that hasn't won a conference game all year for the first time since 1965, I mean, there's only so much you can say about Vandy. But if you actually go watch the game and break it down and you see the way LSU executed, it was really one of their best performances. So, kudos to the team and kudos to Tony Benford, Greg Heyer, and Bill Armstrong, the entire staff. I mean, what they went through in the 24-hour period, kind of hard to plan for, thought they did a good job. And, I feel like they're going to go to Nashville with that same kind of mentality.
Talking to Chris Blair, the voice of the Tigers getting ready to go to Nashville. My only concern, Chris, is that, Darius Day slipped, I think, on his own wet spot, and LSU was up by 30, and I don't really think there was anybody left on the bench, right? Naz Reid is hurt. Javonte can't play. Will Reese and Marshall Graves is it. I mean, there were no walk-ons to come in and play. I know it was a lot of time left, like 6.5 minutes, but I was concerned. I think Trey finally came out at about the 4-minute mark, but I was concerned that these guys were going to get banged up. It was such a big lead at that point juncture in the game.
Well, I mean, it's certainly something you have to be concerned about. The good news is you do get Naz Reid back coming up Friday, and that's, going to give you a little more depth there. So, yeah, I mean, but, that's kind of the way this team has been. I mean, it's an 8-man rotation, and while you get solid minutes on the defensive end from Darius Days and obviously Emmett Williams, and both of those guys have had breakout games offensively, you're really looking at six guys that provide the bulk of the offense in a team that's scoring over 80 points a game. So, again, nothing new for this team, but it's nice to have, hopefully, Naz Reid ready to go 100%. And then we'll find out, what happens with Javonte Smart here in the next couple of days.
Let's talk about Marshall Graves. You always get these guys who walk around with a lot of confidence, and you can see them. But Marshall Graves is one of those guys, right? He's coming off the bench. He's not shy. He wasn't shy when he came in. That was against against Tennessee. He hit a big three-pointer, like a 25-footer, and he comes off the bench.
Correct.
He's like, if you play me, I'm shooting. And I love that kind of confidence. Doesn't matter if I make it or not, I'm going to keep on shooting. That's what I'm out here for.
Yeah, Marshall Graves is a great young man. I mean, when you consider, he played with both Wade Sims and Scott O'Mays at U High, and that was a winning culture. I mean, they won titles, played for titles. He was an integral part of that team. And I get to watch him in practice and shoot around. And Coach John Brady, I marvel at the way he shoots the basketball, because when LSU is playing a team that either A, shoots a lot of threes, or B, makes a high percentage of threes, Marshall Graves is kind of the focal point on the scout team. And we watched him torch the starters, from long range. So we know he can shoot the basketball. And Coach Tony Benford said his only instruction to Marshall Graves was, when you get the ball, if you get a look, shoot, and continue to shoot. And that's exactly what he did. And finished with 12 points and, a career high for that young man. And, when there's other times when he comes in and really fills a void defensively, too. I mean, he's a smart young man. He understands situational basketball, and I think that's why they've had more and more confidence with him as the year goes on. And to be honest with you, I wouldn't be shocked at all if he doesn't play contributed or contributes in big ways this coming weekend.
Talking to Chris Blair, the voice of the Tigers. Are you on the call tonight, right? That game's at home?
What's that?
I'll be on that. Oh, you're already
going to Nashville.
Okay. Oh, you're going to Nashville today. All right. Yeah. My bad. But we'll have the game on here of rain, if the weather cooperates. All right, so let's talk about that. You know, I know they came up short last night to Northwestern State, but Marceau pitched 3 innings of shutout baseball and Hilliard with 2 innings of shutout baseball.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the start of the year, everything looked pretty good. You know, the pitching you felt like would get a little bit better, but the offense was explosive. They ran into some trouble, obviously, when they went to Texas, taking on, SEC caliber pitching, so to speak. You got to credit the young man from Northwestern State last night. Their starter was, he had that Bugs Bunny ball, had that big 66-mile-an-hour curve ball, and, he pitched very well. But you got to be concerned, I think, now, a little bit with the offense and the lack of production. You know, they tweaked the lineup a little bit, certainly last night. Chris Reed, who arguably has been one of the best hitters, most consistent hitters since being put into the lineup, moved up to the cleanup spot last night. You felt like you had a pretty good front four. You were looking for some more consistency in the five and six spots, so they couldn't pitch around Cabrera. So last night they put Reed in the cleanup spot, they moved Cabrera to number five. But it's kind of a shocking thing to see LSU produce just one run. And I think, again, the pitching, I've always had confidence that because you've got so many young arms and so many guys in this spot for the first time in their career, that they're going to get better because their stuff is good. They just got to grow a little more confident, get a little more comfortable on the mound. But offensively, I think that's where now more of the concern is coming, especially when you consider you're going to, enter SEC play this weekend against the Kentucky Wildcats. And, once that starts, you better be ready. The pitching's got to be good, and you've got to be able to score runs. So, I'm sure it's concerning for the staff right now, and I think they need in a big way against Texas Southern tonight to try to, again, see the ball, hit the ball, get that confidence going, because they're going to need it this weekend, and they're going to need it the rest of the year.
All right, we'll have the ball game, weather permitting, 6:30 first pitch, 6 o'clock pregame show right here on 103.7 The Game, and of course we'll have the SEC basketball tournament on Friday afternoon and Saturday if they make it, and Sunday if they make it. And Chris Blair on the call. I appreciate it, my friend. Thanks for getting up.
No problem, guys. Go Tigers.
All right. Did not ask him why he was not on the call last night. We have an answer for that. Probably should have asked him.
Could have been because, and I'm speculating here, but obviously, quick turnaround, maybe, because he did see, he was obviously, I'm going to make an assumption and say that he was talking to you from a different location than where he usually talks to you from, just because of the connection.
You think they're getting on a plane now?
Not like now, but maybe within the hour.
That's what I mean.
Okay. Yeah. So maybe within the hour or so. So like he's, so maybe they, because of the quick turnaround they gave, he's not like he's not used to living out of a suitcase or anything.
Right. Right.
But, I don't know. I'm just speculating. Because that is interesting, he not being on the call.
Yeah, I don't think he's missed a game like that before.
Or maybe it was one of those.
We'll see if Palermo does it tonight.
Maybe he was feeling a little sickness coming on, and it was a precautionary thing.
Could be.
That, it's like, I need the night off to rest
right.
for the weekend.
Or I'm looking at it from the broadcasting point of view, and may not be this at all. If you're not going to be here for Texas Southern, let Palermo do the first game, Northwestern State, and now he's in a rhythm to do the next game. Although he's pretty good at it.
Right. It takes all Palermo, 2 innings to get
right,
back
maybe,
into a
right.
rhythm.
I mean, right, I did the game. It'd be much easier for me to do a Cajuns game than an LSU game, but like you said, I would take like an inning and a half
right.
for LSU. But I did the Cajuns game and it wasn't an issue.
There was some, I forget what it was, whether it was women's basketball the other day, the SEC
right.
game.
Right.
The straw that stirs the drink was Chris Blair on the LSU.
Oh, that's right.
Game.
Yeah, we should ask him about that. Kinda, that's right.
That's,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
pretty funny. They role reversal there a little bit.
That's right. That's right. All right. Let's take a timeout. All right. Brian Bannamy going to join us at the top of the hour. We'll talk Ingram. We'll talk Murray. We'll talk Pelicans. I'm looking for John Morant. All right. Or do you think Elfrid Payton's good enough? Someone tweeted me and said, he thinks that Elfrid Payton is going to rebound? You think John Morant's going to rebound like Elfrid Payton?
That's what we're looking for from our point guard? More that Alfred gets like three or four more rebounds? The kid averages 5.5 rebounds. Give me the 20 points and the 10 assists, all right? By the way, all right, triple-doubles may be overrated, as ridiculous as that sounds. All right, doesn't Alfred Payton have two triple-doubles in his last two games, or three in his last three? How many have they won?
Right. Russell Westbrook did that thing that season.
Well, he did it all season long. Now, right. That's a different story. That's really impressive.
But the team still wasn't competing for a title with all those triple-doubles.
Give me 25 and 10, and I'll be happy. Give me 20 and 10, and I'll be happy. All right, let's take a timeout. Keep on voting at Dave, 1037 The Game, at 1037 The Game. Couple of Mark Ingram poll questions. You can see them. We already got 75 votes in one, 55 votes in another. Again, we usually get 100 votes in a poll question. That's a lot. We could have that before the show ends. All right, back after this, 1037 The Game. Whatever, but it doesn't mean anything on the mind. All right, keep on voting in the Shut Up Dave poll questions. At Dave, 1037 The Game, at 1037 The Game. Whose responsibility is it that Mark Ingram is no longer with the Saints? 42% Mark Ingram, 28% Saints, 30% telling me to shut up. It's kind of rude. Do you think the Saints signing Latavius Murray over Mark Ingram will work out? Whatever that means. 55% say yes, 34% say no. Less rude people in that poll. Only 11% telling me to shut up.
I was thinking about that, what work out could mean.
Sure.
And it could mean something, and I'm not wishing anything at all. I'm just stating, though, that so wherever Mark Ingram lands, he heads over there, and first six games of the season, he doesn't hit 100 yards, no multiple touchdown games, and you throw a couple fumbles in there. At that point, it almost doesn't even matter what Latavius Murray does. You're like, oh, man, I'm glad that's not on my team. So it could be more.
Yeah,
of
a, that's a whole different deal, though, right? I mean, there's no, you know.
Instead of Latavius Murray performing, it could be Mark Ingram declining. That could mean it could work out.
Yeah,
too.
But I mean that, you know, you got Lamar Jackson there. You don't have Drew Brees, right?
Right.
Does he have a second running back? Right. That's a whole. Different
so I guess
story.
You could say it would be different if he was on the Saints.
Now he's
though,
outside. Every game. Right.
No, I mean, you're right. You're right.
There's a lot of factors.
Unless it's overwhelmingly obvious decline from where it's like, oh, man, does he even have it anymore? Then I guess you would – there'd be too many what-ifs.
But I still would think that would be more on the offense, right? We're going to make Lamar Jackson beat us. So he's going to have, you know, 8 or 9 in the box every time.
Keying on Mark Ingram. I don't think he would produce well in an offense where he's like the main man. I don't know if he
let's see what this says. Team statistics. Opponents. So this is on average. Total rushing yards, 185 a game. Is that average? Oh, no. That seems to be a different. Hold on. Regular season stats. Oh, that's postseason stats. I'm sorry. Regular season rushing yards. 2,000 rushing yards. That's pretty good. That's 2017. Or 2018. 2017 was 2,070. Let's see what it was in 2016. 1,742. So that's 250 more yards. It's not a whole heck of a lot more, right? I mean, it's not even 20 yards a game more, right?
In the grand scheme of things, it's what, one touchdown more? If you take, or two touchdowns more with the 100 yard, but I mean.
That doesn't show what the rushing yards are. It just says offense.
So I don't know.
I mean, I could look at it. So let's see here.
To
in
me,
2016,
maybe
12, 16, 17 rushing touchdowns. Ingram had 6.
Well.
All right. Let's see what it is in 2017 with Kamara. Ingram had 12 rushing touchdowns. Kamara, 8, 22, 23. That's a big difference. 17 to 23? 45%? That's a big increase. Maybe 40%? Let's see what 2018 was. Now, we didn't remember Mark Ingram wasn't here for the first part of the season. Kamara had the 14 touchdowns. Rushing, by the way. Kamara had another four receiving. But he had Ingram had six touchdowns. So it's 26 touchdowns. Rushing touchdowns. So in 2016, before Kamara got there, they had 17. Last year, they had 26. That's a lot.
Yeah.
That is a 50. That's more than a 50% increase. Well, yeah. That's a lot in 2 years. That's a big difference. So we'll see. You know who was third on the team in rushing touchdowns, Cody?
Drew Brees?
Yep.
What are you, three?
Four.
Four.
Four. I'm going to guess not more than, 2 yards on each of them.
Oh, no. Remember that? Well, what was that scramble where he stuck his foot in the ground, spin move?
All right. That might have been like the Falcons?
That might have been like a 5 yard
carry.
Was
that the Eagles?
No, it was the Falcons or the Bucks, maybe?
Would have been the Bucks at home, right?
I'm just going to Google Drew Brees.
Taysom Hill had two rushing touchdowns.
Google Drew Brees spin move, and it'll pop right.
Drew Brees, 0.7 yards per carry.
It was against the Falcons.
Was it Thanksgiving?
September 23rd.
No. So. All right. So that was beginning of season.
And that was I see the yard marker here. That was a 7 yard touchdown run from your boy, Drew Brees.
He's slightly faster than Tom Brady.
Could you see that race? These two guys lumbering down the. That's come right. on, guys.
That's right. Instead of like Odell Beckham versus Greedy Williams.
Right.
Right. Let's do Drew Brees against Tom Brady.
And we'll just start crossing over sports. Throw Bartolo Colon in there for fun. It'll be good.
Who breaks the 5 second mark? good stuff.
I remember that play. That spin move now. That brought back some nostalgia, some good feelings about last season. Because there should be very good feelings about last season. Really, there should be. But, boy, the ends can bitter the journey.
Apparently, Jeffrey Elkins, there you go, got the game-winning base hit last night for Northwestern State right here from Lafayette, apparently, according to Victor Russell, who probably is related.
Well, attaboy.
All right.
Attaboy.
Right. The kid that got the winning hit against LSU last night is from Lafayette. I didn't give him any love. Ha ha, I love the show. All right.
Shout out to him. I mean, 3-1.
Yeah. Well, he got the game-winning hit, but the pitching is really what.
The starter went 7 2/3.
Yeah.
Like, my goodness. Get him out of there.
I'm talking about, SEC pitching that won't be able to go around the rotation three times. Northwestern State did it last night. Congratulations to Jeffrey Elkins and the rest of Northwestern State, the Demons. Purple Demons?
I don't know if they're officially like the purple, but I always think they're the purple Demons.
Right. All right, Brian Banamy talking New Orleans. Lots to talk about. Ingram, Murray, Bridgewater, Davis, Ja Morant. And no Chris Gordy at 8:32. He apparently thought he deserved a vacation. He's in London. All right, we'll manage without him. Stay tuned, 103.7, the game.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette, this is Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7, the game, and 1037thegame.com. KLWB, Karen Crow Lafayette, just after 8 o'clock. And Sports Chat with Dave Schultz starts now. Connect on Facebook or follow on Twitter at 1037 the game.
It's a formidable scent. Stings the nostrils.
Listen live with the 1037 The Game mobile app or online at 1037thegame.com.
All right, place your bets. Here we go.
And now, Dave Schultz.
Super team.
It's on right now.
Lady, you want $7 for a used Kenny Loggins record? I'll give you $5.
He autographed it himself.
Send it.
Dave Schultz, Cody Schutz, hour number three of a Yacht Rock Morning Sports Chat, live in the 237 studios. Powered by Lafayette Roofing. Give us a call, 706-0111, 706-0111. That's the ARCO Equipment Hotline. We'll take your calls in the next segment. And no Chris Gordy because he's on vacation. The next man is not on vacation. I got good news for our next guy. All right, he's on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. He's Brian Bannamy from 100.3 in New Orleans. Just to let you know, Brian, you're in the same town, from what I'm told, as the Shot Queen is having a vacation in New Orleans. So if you run into the Shot Queen, you're going to be in good shape.
I hope so. I hope this is something that takes place.
I mean, how can you not want to run into the Shot Queen? Goodness gracious. No, well, she is married, but that may not stop you from having fun, at least, you know, with shots.
That's even better. It's a party.
Right. There you go. Yeah, there's no pressure. The pressure's off. Exactly. All right. Your thoughts on, first of all, do we know what Mark Ingram was offered? I heard all $4 million, but I didn't hear for how long. You know, were they going to offer him 4 years, $16 million, and he turned that down?
I don't think so, Dave. I think it was more along the lines of probably a 2 to 3 year deal in that range because, of course, Mark Ingram will be 30 later on this year. So from what I understand, it was $4 million, short-term deal, nothing long-term. So I think maybe Mark was looking for a little bit more stability, especially because he's gotten offers from other teams, and I think he brought those to the Saints to see if they would match. But I don't think the Saints were going to move from the number that they had, considering that next year you have guys like Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara, Max Unger, Andres Pete, amongst, you know, many others over the next 2 years that are going to be due for contracts. So I don't think you want to sink that much into a 30-year-old running back.
All right, so do we think they sign Mike Thomas long-term this year?
I don't think so. I think that the plan for the Saints right now is to simply ride out everything that's going on with Drew Brees. Now, I know people are freaking out, and I've seen so many fans out there saying Drew Brees has, you know, $33 million owed to him this year. Well, technically, yes, but that's a cap hit. That's not necessarily his salary. It's an $11 million signing bonus along with an $11 million roster bonus, and then he has an $11 million base salary. That's the $33 million. But they can convert some of that if they want to change the numbers around. The best thing to do is wait out Brees, and then next year you have somewhere close to $80 to $90 million cap space, and then you can re-sign all your guys.
All right, so where do we think the Saints? Where do the Saints need help? I'm not sure. A little bit of depth. I mean, maybe a guard on the right side if Horford doesn't come back, but we haven't heard that yet. On the defensive line and a safety. I mean, and then a slot receiver. I mean, I don't know where they need help.
I think if you're going to prioritize, you want to say that tight end and defensive tackle are going to be your top two. They have to have that situation complete because Tyler Davidson, the nose, he's going to be an unrestricted free agent right now. You also have David Onyemata possibly facing a four-game suspension because of the trouble he got into with the marijuana charge. And then, of course, there's Sheldon Rankins, who tore his ACL late last season. I'm sorry, his Achilles late last season. So you have that that spot as uncertainty. And then there's the tight end, Benjamin Watson, gone. You only have Dan Arnold and Josh Hill on the roster. Those two spots have to be taken care of during free agency. I think when it comes to O-line depth, maybe that's where you look to the draft and your wide receiver, your slot receiver. They'll probably try to find one who can fill in for now. Maybe a guy like, maybe a Golden Tate, although I think he's asking for way too much money right now. But the Saints are kind of counting on Cameron Meredith to come back healthy. We'll see what happens with that as well. But I think those spots are going to take care of themselves. The O-line depth and a wide receiver, that'll take care of themselves. Must have are defensive tackle and tight end.
All right, so is there anybody on the radar right now?
As far as defense, if there's anybody out there that the Saints are really going to just say, yes, no doubt, we're going to go all in to go and pursue, because, of course, we know the guy from Jacksonville, Malik Richardson, he's gone. Malik Jackson, he's right off the board right now. He's got the big deal. And, of course, there's only guys now like Ndamukong Suh and guys like that who I don't think the Saints are going to really try to reach out to now. Maybe later on, if they can't find anybody, they'll try to see what they can do. But it would not shock me to see the Saints try to make a move for a defensive tackle via trade versus trying to say we're just going to try to sign one in free agency.
I mean, do they upgrade with Justin Houston? Do they need him?
I would love to see the Saints go after a Justin Houston. But I think, especially because they have very little linebacker depth as well outside of the starters. And it's not like, the guys like A.J. Klein and Alex Anzalone have been known to be, just guys you can count on every single snap anyway. But I would love to see them be in the running for a Justin Houston. I just don't know if they make that type of big money move if he's looking for a big payday.
It'll be interesting. When these guys get cut right before free agency, I'm not sure if fair is the right word, but it does seem to be short notice.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Especially you're talking about guys who, you know, kind of put their heart and souls into the team. I think Eric Berry is a candidate now also coming up soon that could be cut now that the Chiefs have signed Tyrann Mathieu to that huge deal. So like you said, it's not really unfair, but it's definitely short notice. But at this place, the money that the NFL has given out, you would think it'd be great to be a free agent right now.
Yeah, no doubt. We're talking to Brian Bannamy, 100.3 in New Orleans. All right. Can we shift gears to the Pelicans?
Do we have to?
We can, because I think you're okay. On the same page as I am, although in this case, I think I was the one leading the charge. All right?
Yeah, no doubt.
I want the Pelicans, if they finish no worse than sixth, and they're right in the mix, by the way, they still have a chance to win it, the lottery. However, I'm all conspiracy theory. The Knicks are going to win the lottery. It's not going to be the Cavs, and it's not going to be Phoenix, all right? The Knicks are going to win the lottery, all right? However, though, out of all these teams that are in the mix that could pick ahead of the Pelicans, only the Mavericks and the Suns don't have a point guard, right? The Knicks have Dennis Smith Jr. Atlanta has Trae Young. The Cavs have Colin Sexton, and the Bulls have Zach LaVine, all right? So all those teams are set. But here's the deal, all right? Right, New York, Cleveland, and Phoenix, two of those three teams are going to be 1-2. Do we think Phoenix is going to take Ja Morant? And what do you think the Pelicans' chances of getting Ja Morant? Because that's the guy that I want. If they can't get a Zion or an R.J. Barrett, I don't have a problem.
You know what? If Ja Morant is the pick, even if Zion Williamson and R.J. Barrett are on the board when they pick, I'm not mad at all at that pick. Ja Morant and Drew Holiday on the perimeter, it's just absolute insanity when it comes to perimeter defense and the ability to push the ball and play an up-tempo style, because I don't think it matters who's the coach. Definitely up-tempo is the way to go, because that's the way the NBA is going. It's more of a guard league than it ever was a big man league at this point. So I'm not mad at that at all if they go Ja Morant, and he's an absolute dog out there when it comes to playing both ways and his aggressiveness. He reminds me of a little bit, I guess, like Dame Lillard, except he's a lot more aggressive when it comes to attacking a basket. So I'm not mad at all. And if the Pelicans can get that, you know, that top three pick and get him, and RJ and both Zion are gone, Ja Morant is absolutely, it's a no-brainer you make that pick. And in fact, it might be, you know, interesting to see what happens if the Pelicans get the top pick and are able to kind of trade Anthony Davis and get a small forward. Because if you're going to trade for Jason Tatum or even a Kevin Knox, why do you need to pick Zion Williamson or R.J. Barrett when you have a young guy already there that can blossom?
All right, so this was a column. This was a sports radio column, and I brought this up a couple weeks ago. The grass isn't always greener. And this was this is about a sports talk show host that maybe let the little thing, you know, he sweated the little things, all right? But he's talking about Antonio Brown and others that, you know, maybe the grass will not be greener when he goes to Oakland and in turn Vegas. And I still think there's a shot that the Pelicans take. The Pelicans end up taking Ja Morant. They get a good spot in the draft, in the lottery. And Anthony Davis goes, boy, that Boston seems like a mess, right? Then who wants to go play for James Dolan and the Knicks? And what are the Lakers about? LeBron's doing his own thing out there. He's winning is like not even third on his list now. There's a lot more. I still think there's an outside shot. Anthony Davis changes his mind. He gets the chance to see the grass ain't greener on the other side. I'm staying right here.
You know, I kind of saw that last night with the way Anthony Davis played that third quarter when he comes out and he's just like, maybe it looked like he was kind of maybe halfway through, and then all of a sudden he explodes in the third quarter. So I'm like, you know what? Maybe, just maybe, he kind of had a chance to look at the box score during halftime and thought that the Lakers were struggling with the Bulls. And basically maybe he had a possible little, just for a second, had a change of heart. And to be honest, Dave, in my opinion, I think, I don't know how you walk back into that locker room and say, guys, I apologize, I'm sorry. And for the fan base, I think the fan base can be more forgiving later on. But even early on, I think he still gets booed a little bit, because kind of fans are in the transition now that they're almost excited that he's going to be going the chance for a rebuild. So I don't really know how that works out. But if Anthony Davis does pull, Anthony Barr at this point, I think maybe, just maybe, it could work out for the Pelicans. But I'm excited for a rebuild. I mean, he said he wanted out. Let's get him out.
I agree. That's probably what's going to happen. But the players will get over it real quick-like, because he will sign a contract. Now, that's the only way. It's not going to be one of those things, let's play out the year, and then I'll see. He's either in or out this offseason, all right? I'm just holding out hope. Now, if the Pelicans end up with, like, the eighth pick in the draft, it's out the door. All right, Brian Bannamy, try to find the shot queen. Have some fun. First round's on me.
Shut up, Dave.
Yeah! You got that as a drop? That sounded scripted, by the way.
Right. It was the punchline with no
That's right.
setup.
That's right. Yeah, he ignored the question. he wasn't even, I don't agree with the premise of your question, right? Like last week on Everybody Knows Ron on Fox 15, we go in there and, you know, when is baseball going to become more popular? Well, it's just changed from a national sport to a regional sport versus the NFL, but baseball has really been as popular as it's been in the last 25, 30 years. It's never going to be what it was. It's just not.
Right.
I mean, it's every day for like 6 months compared to the NFL. And a lot of people think football's gotten watered down, right? It used to be Monday and Sunday. Then it became Sunday night. Then it became Thursday night. I mean, what days do we go without football now? Like, if you want football,
we get action on Tuesday.
After the second week of the season, you have, right, the Cajuns have 3 midweek games this year. And I think that's going to crush attendance. I never thought of this from, you know, but HUD mentioned it. You know, we go a few weeks without a Saturday home game, right, in one of his last seasons. Mm-hmm. This year, they almost go 2 months without a Saturday home game. 2 months, like 7 weeks. That's a lot.
That's a lot. That is a whole
now,
lot.
Now, when now, Cajun fans are going to have their Saturdays off. Right?
Right?
You don't have to worry about competing against LSU in there, but, you know, we'll be fortunate if they get over 10,000 on, I guess, one midweek game. Two are on the road. So that's good publicity anyways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you might get, in football season in full swing, if you count high school as football, I mean, you might get your Wednesday night off, maybe. I mean, because you've got Monday, you've got Tuesday.
Right.
Wednesday is in. Thursday
playing,
night
right.
football. Friday's high school.
Right.
And then your weekend.
Right.
I mean, that's.
Now, this year, Syracuse plays on Friday nights. Right?
There always
Syracuse are. Football plays on freaking Friday night.
A couple of random Friday night
right.
games.
I won a few bucks when they beat Central Michigan last year, I think, or maybe Western Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
That was my first Lafayette game. And then 2 years ago, I think I was doing the VC game, Vermilion Catholic. Maybe against Eunice?
While Syracuse is playing.
And my phone's blown up because, you know, they're beating Clemson. all right. Let's take a timeout. We will reset. All right. Talk Mark Ingram. Talk Saints. Talk Odell Beckham Jr. Again, when the nephew texts me and he does not text me, you know it's a big deal when Odell Beckham Jr. is getting my nephew to text me. Also, another famous member of the, well, I say Schultz clan, but not really Schultz clan. In this case, it's the Suskin clan. It's my mother's side of the family. All right. She was on TV last night. Maybe we'll get her on the show. I got to clear that through the mom, right? We had the LA correspondent, by the way, the Rams correspondent, won his basketball championship. Yeah. No, he's on to baseball. We're on to baseball. We're on to baseball. We're on to Cincinnati. All right.
Odell Beckham.
Right.
He's on to Cleveland.
Right. We're on to Cleveland. All right. Yeah, so we had a little relative on TV last night. We'll talk about that after this, along with Ingram, Murray, and Odell Beckham Jr. Do you guys think it was the right move, letting Mark Ingram go? Give us a call or a vote at Dave 1037 The Game, at 1037 The Game. Back after this. Even though we ain't got money, the rain's down in. All right, Dave Schultz, Cody Schutz. On a Wednesday morning, Yacht Rock Sports Chat. Give us a call. Talk Mark Ingram. Talk Latavius Murray. 706-0111. 706-0111 on the Arco Equipment Hotline. All right. Or you keep on voting at Dave 1037 The Game, at 1037 The Game on the Twitterverse. We've gotten some good responses thus far, almost 100 votes already. Do you think the Saints signing Latavius Murray over Mark Ingram will work out? 56% say yes, 30% no, 14% say shut up. Whose responsibility is it that Mark Ingram is no longer with the Saints? 31% say the Saints. 42% Mark Ingram. 27% shut up. All right. We'll see that. All right. So last night, are you into the cooking shows, Cody?
By proxy.
By proxy. So did you watch last night? MasterChef Junior.
Oh, I do a lot of Hulu and a lot of DVR.
All right.
So I stay behind. But no, go ahead.
All right. So my little cousin Sadie, who's all a 12 going on 13, although it sounds like she's a, you know, 83-year-old grandma with that name. But she's a little cutie, and she's on MasterChef Junior.
Come on.
And she made the first cut.
Oh, well, I will watch that when I get home today. Right. Kaylee loves that.
Somehow we missed the first 15 minutes, and she's already upstairs. And I was at the Cajuns baseball game, so I was just watching and not listening.
Right.
Right. But was it Gordon Ramsay? Is that his name?
Right.
He's not much of a, well, we'll just say he's not an ass to the kids, is he?
He's much more, now,
right.
There are moments.
There's a little
but,
teasing for the right. kids, and that's fine because the kids will give it right back.
Right. He's much, much nicer right. To the kids.
And so the kids had to make a banana split, right?
Okay.
After they were done, the judges, Gordon Ramsay and one guy and one woman, right, made a human banana split.
Nah.
They dumped hot fudge on themselves, right?
Right.
Or chocolate syrup, I guess, not hot fudge.
Right.
And whipped cream. I mean, it was funny.
Right. That's become a MasterChef Junior staple.
Oh, is that it?
The challenge where, not the banana split, but there's always a challenge where they dump something
right.
on them.
Right.
Like last year, they did a waffle challenge, so it was syrup.
Oh, my God.
And they always do some. And did they do the cool thing where the judges, after they're all dirty, they walk off and they do the cool editing thing where they go through the spinning door and they go through it completely covered nasty and it's like no cut or anything. No. The door spins and they come through squeak and they make all the kids go like, whoa, oh, how'd you do that? Oh, it's one of those cute, because you know they're kids.
Right,
it's
funny. Right. And the kids were, a couple of the kids
were
crying.
So was this the first episode?
First episode, two-hour special last night.
So good. I've only missed episode one.
Right.
So we will be keeping Sadie. We will be keeping up to date. Yeah, we are now, for sure.
She is my cousin David's daughter.
So she'll be from
Seattle.
Seattle, okay. Because that's always, they show their name and then like the city they're from.
Seattle, right. And then they show this guy, my college roommate Glenn, we talked about him. Is from Rye, New York.
Okay.
I mean, the kid lives in a castle. Right? I mean, Rye, New York is one of those well-to-do Westchester suburbs. I mean, it was a bad day for him to come and show his house on the day that, I was just a kid, right? But the bad day, the day that, you know, all the people were paying to cheat and lie to get their kids into college.
Right. And
I mean, it was a huge house.
That MasterChef Junior, though, they do that where they show the clips, like you're saying, of them cooking in their kitchen, like the tryout audition tapes.
Yes.
And, I mean, 90% of these kids, when you look at their audition tapes, they are cooking in a kitchen that is bigger than my house.
Right, usually.
Not all of them, but a lot.
I don't know if my cousin Rebecca is a good cook. I can guarantee you my cousin David, and Rebecca's the cousin-in-law, my cousin David is probably not a good cook, despite growing up in New Orleans.
So where'd she pick this up from?
That's a good question. Maybe Rebecca's a good cook.
You would think somewhere.
Or all the TV shows.
Or maybe grandma or something like that.
Yeah, grandma passed away a couple years ago. Her grandma. And I'm not sure if my aunt cooks. There was a lot of help.
Hmm.
She had to cook somewhere along the way. She had four kids. She had some help, but she cooked.
Because, I mean, these kids, whether they're well-to-do or not, they still can freaking cook. It's not like they. It's not like the school scandal where they got their way paid.
So she had to do something with a lobster last night.
See, I would boil it like a crawfish, and that's probably not the way to go.
She had to go in there, and the lobsters are alive, right, and pick up a lobster out of the tank, right? What if she said, Gordon, I'm sorry, it's not kosher. I won't cook it.
I wonder if that had to be cleared with everything before.
Could you imagine if she tried to do that?
I mean, she can't be the first Jewish kid to be on MasterChef Junior.
Probably not.
Yeah, it can't be.
Probably not.
That's funny, though.
All right.
They should save that for like the season finale or something, the punchline. Oh, hey, Gordon, we have a problem. That's funny. I'm trying to remember the girl's, the lady's name that judges with him. Her name is, but she's like the cupcake queen of the United States.
Okay.
She's compared to
the shot queen.
Right, compared to the, yes, correct. Right.
Oh, so people don't like it. You can't handle the Druth at Pels_fan. They don't like the idea that could AD change his mind. I think there's a chance. I do.
Still some sour grapes.
Yeah, there's a little bit sour grapes. It's not like they were winning the championship this year. What are they going to do, make the eighth spot and get beat by the Warriors again? At Spurs_McNullis says Dwight Howard 2.0. And Mike Hebert at Cajuns Mike 1 says no. I asked Kushner, tweeted out something about the GMs. It's ramping up this week. What did he say? Kushner goes, sources, the Pelicans' process to hire a new general manager is expected to ramp up, well, he says next week. The search firm has been parsing out candidates and is expected to provide an ownership list of 5 to 10 names next week. That's a lot. From there, they can conduct interviews and pick finalists. All right. So then I asked, any chance AD sees the grass is not greener and decides to come back? You know what the hashtag was, Cody? This is Gush.
Nah, there you go.
This is Gush.
This is Gush.
This is Gush. This is Gush. I'm waiting for you, Cody. This is Gush. You're not going to help me out, are you? This is Gush. We got to go.
This is Gush.
This is, there you go. This is Gush.
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 We were not ready. But then well, we that's got, all right. But then we got
nowhere.
Ready.
That came out of nowhere. All right. No Chris Gordy. All right. He's in London.
We can do the next segment in British accents if you want.
I can't really do a British accent.
Oh, come on, Gub. Now we can do British accents.
You can, yeah. A little Cockney in there for you. I know that.
I watch YouTube is the thing. And the guy that I watch on YouTube is from Newcastle.
Right.
And I get, and so he does a Cockney joke, and then that's where it.
Got it. From. Got it. All right, we'll be back. Maybe British accents after this. 103.7 The Game. All right, Dave Schultz, Cody Schutz, Wednesday morning Yacht Rock Sports Chat. Our 32-song Yacht Rock bracket gets revealed next Wednesday. Don't forget to sign up for Pete's Million Dollar Bracket Challenge. You can do that now on 1037thegame.com. All right, a perfect bracket, you get $1 million. The winner gets a grand. The best bracket gets $1,000. All right, give us a call. 706-0111. 706-0111. You going to do this in a Cockney accent, Cody? Because I can't do that. I can't do a British accent.
I will tell you, though, Browns have signed tight end Demetrius Harris from the Chiefs. So the Browns are making more moves in free agency.
Where did D. Ford go to?
He didn't get franchised today. I don't remember.
No, he got traded to the 49ers. Can you do that in a Cockney accent?
D. Ford now, the newest member of the San Francisco 49ers.
There you go. That's pretty good. I can't do that.
You want to know where I got the San Francisco 49ers, that accent from? That was,
sure.
Is it Ian Dark or Ian Drake who does the soccer games on ESPN? Okay. The you know the guy I'm talking about. He does it with
is
Taylor
it Ian
12.
Ian Dark?
Is it Ian Dark or Ian Drake? It's one of the.
I thought it was Ian Dark.
I think you're right.
D-A-R-K-E.
Right.
I could be wrong about that.
Yeah, Ian Dark, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the guy. That's yes. I was kind of channeling him.
He's the one who called. See if you can find Landon Donovan's goal. 2012, maybe? I don't think he was in the World Cup. Maybe it was in the World Cup.
Was that the one?
It was a tying goal, right?
Right. It was at the very end of the game. The goalie had jumped out of the goal. The ball was sitting still, and Landon Donovan runs out of nowhere and crushes it in the back of the net.
I guess so, yeah.
In extra time, maybe.
In extra time. His time was running out. Yeah. That's Ian Dark.
Well, what a crazy happening it was in South Africa. The USA were going out of the World Cup. We've kind of.
No, we don't want that now. We want the goal call.
I thought this video looked like it had the goal call in it. Oh, here. Is this it?
Three.
Brilliant. Landon Donovan, where things on here for the USA. Can they do it here? Cross, and Dempsey's denied again, and Donovan has scored! Oh, can you believe this? Go, go, USA! You could not write a script like this.
You haven't heard a Brit so excited about American victory in a long, long time.
But I don't know, he was the voice that I had in my head when I was, because I was right. Thinking of a British name and one that, or British voice that says a lot of city names.
Sure.
And he was just the first one that came to mind because he's always naming United States cities and all. So.
Sure. All right.
A legend in English commentary of soccer.
I'm sure that he is. He's a legend over here.
That's what I'm saying. A legend.
He's an American legend.
Of English commentary.
He's an English legend, yes. But legend over here.
That's hard to say because there's English and American and mishmash.
All right, let's find out the poll question. Keep on voting. Over 104, well, not over 104, 104 votes. Over 100 already. Do you think the Saints signing Latavius Murray over Mark Ingram will work out? 57, yes. 28, no. Now 15% are telling me to shut up. Whose responsibility is it that Mark Ingram is no longer with the Saints? Well, if they were only offering him a 2 or 3 year deal, I would vote Saints. You can't give Latavius Murray a 4-year deal and not Mark Ingram a 4-year deal. So my vote may change. It'll be a different poll tomorrow. 46% say Mark Ingram, 28% Saints, 26% shut up Dave. This is going on right now. Will Kane from another network is suggesting that Le'Veon Bell fire his agent. All right. Clay Thomas suggests that the agent probably told him to play. And that's the word that's coming out, is that Le'Veon Bell did not take the suggestion that he was getting. You know, you can take advice, but it didn't work out that way, right? I mean, Le'Veon Bell didn't get what he wanted, right? Le'Veon Bell wanted to be like the highest paid player in the NFL. He thinks he's more than just a running back, and he was getting paid to be a running back. One guy said, Le'Veon Bell needs to fire his agent. Clay Travis says, I bet the agent told him to take the Steelers' offer. Agent can't help it when client makes dumb decision.
I was going to say, like you said, it's a suggestion. There's nothing, I guess, he can do about it.
So Andrew Marchand from the New York Post, he says, I just cover sports media. Used to be like the Yankee beat writer. I just cover sports media, but I think Clay is right here. From what I was told from someone with knowledge, Bell's agent wanted him to play. These, you know, it's one thing in baseball or even basketball, but these guys in the NFL have such short careers to sit out, a year in your prime, right? I mean, he was going to get a huge set, right? Didn't they franchise him? That was the problem, right? They were going to franchise him again. He didn't want to be franchised. He's going to make like $15 to $19 million, something like that. Now he's a second round pick. So this was on the back end, I guess. He didn't get a whole lot of signing bonus. He wasn't making a whole lot of money. $405,000, $500,000, $600,000, $800,000, $850,000. He got a big $12 million deal in 2017. What was the Steelers' offer? Steelers' offer to Bell. I think they just franchise him. I mean, it's, you know. Oh, he turned down. How about that? Le'Veon Bell turned down a monstrous $70 million deal from the Steelers. We can probably all agree $70 million is a lot of money, but apparently it wasn't enough to get Le'Veon Bell to sign a new deal in Pittsburgh. The offer from the Steelers was worth a total of $70 million over 5 years. Although the offer would have given Bell the largest multi-year contract of any running back in the NFL, he turned it down. One reason he likely did that is because it was nowhere near his asking price, which was reportedly in the neighborhood of $17 million a season. How much is that? What did it say? 5 years? Or $14 million. There you go. So it was $14 million a season. All right, one other reason Bell may have turned the deal down is because apparently wasn't loaded with any substantial guarantees. According to NFL's Ian Rappaport, the contract included $33 million in guaranteed money. He got that with the Jets, I guess. He said he's getting $35 million, but he's now with the Jets. Do they have a long history of winning, Cody? I miss that.
Yeah, I can't recall.
No.
I mean, Mark Sanchez.
Two back-to-back NFC AFC Rex, championship
Rex
games,
Ryan right? And Mark Sanchez. There's your peak.
Yeah. At least recently. Rappaport also noted that the first 3 years of the deal would pay out $45 million, but did note if all of that money was guaranteed. Yeah, some of these guys thought the grass was greener on the other side, and I don't think they're going to – I mean, who's Darnold throwing to? The Jets got out some good – defenders, who are they throwing to?
Is it Robbie Coleman?
I guess they did. Did he just get Crowder?
Yeah, James, he didn't have the greatest season last season. But
the defense is going to be pretty good, right? They're going to go get Josh Allen from Kentucky, or Quinnen Williams is going to be sitting there. Could be Bosa. Who knows? Meanwhile, the Giants are a mess.
And they have that.
Isn't that too bad, Cody? The Giants are a mess. Oh,
Quincy Enunwa.
Right,
he was the guy. He kind of that young kid that came on. He could maybe.
He was kind of – he was very up and very
early
down.
In the season, he was catching balls. He had like 14 right. catches in right. one game yeah, or something like right. that.
And then everyone picked him up on their fantasy league and he did nothing. Yeah. We'll see what the Jets do.
Yeah, after that, it kind of goes
pressure's on Cleveland, right? Again, it's still going to be the Patriots. It's still going to be the Chiefs. And now the Chiefs got Honey Badger, although we're not supposed to call him that anymore, right?
Are we not?
No, I don't think so. Okay. And he got the best end of both deals. He got paid $14 million. I think he was only making $7 million with Houston last year. He got paid, and he went to a winner. Well, winner-ish, right? They're the best team in the AFC, well, you know, regular season anyways, last year. But now no Justin Houston and no D. Ford.
We've crushed the 100-vote mark, by the way.
Nice. It's a good question. I think we, remember, we had troubles the way we want. I didn't want it slanted.
Right.
One way. I think that was a good collaboration.
Even
big,
if you
big
add,
word for 844 in the morning.
Even if you add the shut up Dave to the nose, yes is still winning.
Okay.
That's
all right. That's optimistic Saints fans. It's not a lot of those.
Maybe people are expecting Mark Ingram maybe either a big downfall or
I guess there, so, but I just think that's such a different situation. This is not baseball. You know, baseball could change a little bit based on the league and who's hitting behind you, but you know, there's going to be 8-9 guys in that box against Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. Good luck. Good luck. We'll see. And they got a... We'll see who else is good in the AFC. I mean, the Chargers are going to be good again. Baltimore won the division last year, but you got to think Cleveland is now the top dog in that division. I'm not sure if the AFC South is all that great with the Colts. They may be head and shoulders above teams, but how good are they? I don't know if anybody. The Jets seem to be heading in the right direction, anyways. They may be a little bit of time away. I mean, the idea. Let's be honest. The idea is to be ready when Brady hangs it up. Go ahead.
Right. That was Tim wanted to pop in real quick. He said okay. He doesn't have a Twitter.
Right.
But his vote would also be for yes.
Okay.
And he
well,
said,
thanks for the call, Tim.
Well, he said he thought Mark Ingram was a smaller factor in the offense. I guess you could say that with missing four games and then coming in. But he said he thought Mark Ingram was a smaller factor. Latavius Murray's a big guy, a big back.
All right.
And he said if the Saints offensive line can come back healthy,
sure.
Then he said, Tim's words were, then I could be back there running
right,
the ball.
Right.
So he said they really, the Saints, maybe save a little money and just looking for a guy to breathe or give Alvin Kamara some breaks here and there and
right.
just carry the ball, get some short yardage maybe. So, I mean, Tim made a few good points in that.
Yeah. You know. Well, we appreciate the call, Tim. Thank you so much. So, again, if he goes to Baltimore, it's going to be, you know, and he's averaging, you know, 3.5 yards a carry. It's going to be because it's on Baltimore. That doesn't mean, you know, all of a sudden Mark Ingram, right. you know, got fat and slow. I mean, he might. That's a self-induced issue.
It's going to be cold in Baltimore.
But really not until Thanksgiving. The weather is kind of overblown in the East Coast.
Is it?
You know.
You would know way better than I would.
I mean, it could be bad for a long time, but most of the cold weather doesn't hit until after Thanksgiving. You may play twice in the cold weather. Right now, you may practice in the cold weather. That's
so
different.
What do you mean? The North is not all blizzards and snowstorms, Dave? That's how I understand
it. Yeah, but you practice inside.
Right.
You know.
Right.
You may do it a little bit outside. But that doesn't really happen until, you know, Thanksgiving. So you're a month outside. Now, it was cold, I think, during that playoff game. And supposed to be really cold, the Patriots-Chiefs game, but it was never quite that cold, right?
Negative 14.
Well, remember, they keep the field warm at 30 degrees so it doesn't freeze.
Figure that out.
Super genius. I wonder if they got to college because mom and dad paid for their way. Further way in. All right.
All these rich kids are about to have their privilege checked everywhere, whether they're part of it or not.
Again, Ben Dreyfuss, Richard Driver's son. You know, I got in the old-fashioned way. I let my dad's celebrity speak for itself.
my guy, right? That's what I'm talking about.
That's right. You're Ben Dreyfuss. Are you related to Richard? Yes. You're in.
I got super lucky. Got to go to a summer camp that also Ross Perot's grandkids
oh, yeah?
went to. and his grandkids got dropped off in a helicopter.
Uh-huh.
And it was one of those things that we're like, oh, okay. All right, I see you. Like, I'm like 8 years old, and I'm like, who are these kids?
Right.
Look, just my size coming out of a helicopter.
Can I finish? Back after this, 1037, the game.
Lady, we had it all.
All right, I think this is a two seed in our Yacht Rock bracket reveal. One or two seed? I thought it was a one or two seed.
Yeah, I think it's a two. I don't think it quite made.
No, not one.
A one seed.
It'll be revealed next week. All right, our 32 song Yacht Rock bracket. All right. No prize, just some fun. All right, but sign up for the Pete's. There is a big prize. Sign up for the Pete's $1 Million Bracket Challenge. A perfect bracket gets you $1 million. The winner of the best bracket gets $1,000. All right, sign up today, 1037thegame.com. All right, a little bit of a note last night if you missed it.
You can do at Cody Schutz for my services with your bracket help. No guarantees, but, you know, just...
And in this case, Cody can't change the rules.
Well, I can't win.
That the third place team will win. If that was Cody's fantasy league, that's the way it would work. All right.
Only if I was in third, though, Dave.
Right. That's right. I would have thought this would have helped, but apparently did not. St. Mary's, by the way, huge upset last night over Gonzaga. Gonzaga loses the West Coast Conference basketball tournament 60-47, and not really close. You would have thought that would have helped LSU's net, but it did not. LSU's net remains 14. This is actually updated pretty quickly today. They're still 14, and I don't get it. This I do not get. It was updated fairly quickly. Usually it's not updated until later in the afternoon. All it did was change Virginia and Gonzaga. Virginia number one. Now Gonzaga, number two.
How does
Duke still three.
How does a big powerhouse team like Gonzaga lose and it not affect any other team in the rankings?
It really only affected Virginia.
I can understand in college football because not everybody plays there. I get that. But in basketball where there's a whole lot of crossover with these teams and for a major school like that to lose and it only affect them and one other school.
It should affect LSU a little bit, right? Because LSU beat St. Mary's.
Right.
You know, so you got these quadrant one, quadrant two, quadrant three, quadrant four games, right? And probably, I look it up, St. Mary's was probably a quadrant three or quadrant two. Now they could be a quadrant one victory.
Right, which LSU has a lot of, which would only bolster, you would think, because I don't. When the brackets are revealed, if LSU wins the SEC championship, and this is just off the cuff, Dave, I know.
Sure.
But if LSU wins the SEC tournament,
yep.
Do they enter as a higher seed than either Kentucky or Tennessee? Or are they still?
Well, you would think so.
You would think.
Right, because unless both Kentucky and Tennessee lose in the quarters.
Right, and I was assuming they beat one of the two schools in the finals.
Unless they lose in the quarters, they're playing them. They're going to play each other in the semifinals.
Right.
And then if LSU gets that far, they would play them again, and they would be 3-0 against Kentucky and Tennessee.
So how could you seed the I don't want to call it double conference champ, regular season and tournament champion.
I mean, you would think they would still be number one. They would be no worse than a number two and a number one.
And then you'd have SEC teams holding a number one seed at that point.
Right. And somehow the ACC with Duke, Virginia, and Carolina are going to get three number one seeds. That's a joke if Duke gets a number one seed. They're missing their center, and Zion Williamson hasn't played in like a month.
My poor Nike.
Right.
Bummer.
Oh.
No, bummer for them, right?
Oh. Will Phil Knight ever get over it? Virginia number one in the KenPom rankings. LSU is 16. Some of those losses are hurting them in a big way. We'll have to find out where that is. Talk about it tomorrow.
I guess this LSU season is showing maybe that this net rating, a bad loss hurts worse than a good win helps.
So like, the Florida State loss or the,
might
the
be what
Oklahoma
we're
State
here.
Loss? Houston loss can't hurt that much.
No, they were undefeated forever, it seemed like, or one loss at least forever.
LSU is 9-2 quadrant one.
I mean, that sounds really good.
It really is. No one else has, you know, Virginia is 11-2. No one else has only two losses.
And I mean,
outside
Virginia's,
of Gonzaga and Houston, but they've only played six ball games.
But NC, that's not that's
right.
Conference
Utah State is 3-2. Florida 3-11. My Orange 3-8. Not bad records.
Wait, are Tennessee and Kentucky on that list anywhere?
Just Kentucky is 10-4.
So that's not bad.
That's comparable, right? Yeah, yeah. It's not the same winning percentage, but it's comparable. Tennessee is 7-4. So that's not as good.
It's not.
Right? Not as good.
Just interesting.
Special thanks to our buddy Jason Gibbs for hopping on, seeing the Sports Shed signal. We appreciate that. Chris Blair will be in Nashville, but we'll have the LSU baseball game tonight, weather permitting. And Brian Bandamy in New Orleans. You got the rap game with RP3 coming up, followed by the Jim Rome Show. And then, of course, it's the Jordy Holtberg Show featuring Jordy Holtberg. Bumper to Bumper Sports will be at 4, and then LSU Baseball or Five Guys Stories and Lies. Keep it live and local all day long here. 103.7 The Game.